Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by Game Center, the must-have app for gamers. Game Center is filled with game information, the latest gaming news from ShackNews.com, and videos and screenshots for over 7,000 games. Game Center is free and available now for the iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Weekend confirmed.
Ignition. Liftoff. Liftoff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Weekend Confirmed. My name is Garnet Lee, and I need to turn up the return on my headphones a little. Ah, that's much better. Now I can hear myself. It's always a good thing. It's a weird start. I was like, oh, I turned it down too much. Hey, we have the return of the hammer.
Did you just do the Krusty the Clown? Hey!
No, I just was...
I'm sorry.
I don't even know. I don't even know that show well enough, actually, to do that.
Snorted.
Hey, kids!
Wow.
That was pretty good. Didn't Krusty, like, go down and out, and or did they always bring him back?
Yeah, I don't think he's going away.
They always bring
him
back, don't they?
Three characters that have been killed off, I think. Yeah.
Simpsons trivia?
Bleeding Lips Murphy.
Oh, of course.
Ned Flanders' wife, I think, was killed off. And there was a third character that got killed off, and I can't remember who it is.
Whoa, they killed off Ned Flanders' wife?
Yeah, they had a contract dispute with the chick who did her voice.
That
yeah, killed her off.
Anyway, that's Mr. Jeff Cannata right there.
Two N's, one T. That's going to be my new thing.
Two N's, one T?
Yep.
I like it.
People get it wrong a lot.
You're nutty.
It's whimsical.
Thank you.
And we have a lot to get through on today's show, including my, you know, at least of the moment favorite band for our music section, which is Sunny Shine and the Underwater Sounds.
Not Creed?
You do know, like as soon as I saw that, I had to laugh because I used to torment Andrew so much when we worked at 1UP with Creed because... You know what it is, like, sometimes, you know, someone hates something, but it's, like, not enough that, like, I wouldn't do the clown thing, because he really hates the clown thing, but, like, the Creed thing, was like, we'd, like, always listen to music when we were in 1UP North, and, like, every 4 or 5 days, I'd just, like, you know, throw a Creed song in the mix.
Just that's some cold shit, man.
I like how Klepek goes to bars and does the nickel back-to-back-to-back.
It's fun when you're not there and you hear about it,
yeah,
but when you're at the bar, and you're, like, you're looking over, and you're like, that girl's really cute. But now she's going to hate all of us. And so is everybody else in this freaking bar because it's Nickelback to back to back to back.
Yep.
Or he plays the
Jurassic
Weezer
Park.
Jurassic Park's fun or the Weezer Christmas song in the middle of fucking July for no reason. Twice. He'll play it back.
Jukebox fun.
What the hell? It's almost as random as this show. Hey.
Hey-o.
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 Hey, we're going to bring we're gonna bring Jeff's video question of the week. If you're not watching the video questions of the week, what the hell's wrong with you?
They're pretty fun.
They're actually kind of fun, yeah. So you can get to us on Facebook or on our Twitter account or on Shack News with your video questions. Dave, you ever thought about letting people send in videos to do the video questions too? He says we talked about it. We might do it at E3 or something. It's kind of an idea. I don't know. I'm sure I thought of it just now too because I.
This one's a penis. This one's also a penis. This video is also...
I think you underestimate our audience.
Two penises.
Yeah, exactly. They can get more than one penis in there at a time. Holy cow. So yeah, we're going to bring in what your video question last week, which was... how exactly
taking one character and putting him in another game, or her into another game.
Yes, and we're calling it character mashup for the moment, for lack of a better term. But if you'd like to give us a title for it, open season. And of course, we have news. So there you go. That's what's on the big show today. And we'll let Billy charge into what you've been playing, because I bet he's bringing the Nintendo love.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Actually, I've been really sucked into Words with Friends the last week or so.
Oh.
Wow.
2008 called, and
yeah,
wants its obsession back.
This shit's been free since you got an iPhone. But wow, that game that's my new crack. It's like, I'll check my text messages, I'll check Twitter, and then I'll take a half hour and do all of my Words with Friends stuff.
Now, let me ask you this question for the 4 seconds we'll talk about Words with Friends.
Yeah, it's not worth it, but...
Yeah. Do you do the, I'm just going to try these and see if it actually is a word?
It depends how late at night it is. Like, if I'm just like, I can't figure... Well, it depends what letters I have and how late in the match it is, because sometimes you're so screwed. You're like, I've got four U's and an I.
Oh, yeah. But I ain't freaking conceding defeat until I realize that there's not a possible word. Because you could just keep trying things, and I'll just say, nope, not a word, nope, not a word. And then, oh, U-L-L is a word. I had no idea. It isn't.
But. It's really fun. Yeah, Zool doesn't work. Why? Ghostbusters?
There's no Dana.
Come on.
I hear Hangman's going to make a comeback, too.
Shut up. I'm playing with you two, so you're a jerk.
I made the big mistake on that game of tweeting out my handle, and then I got into 60 simultaneous games and had to cut myself off.
Cold I don't cold. Think it's just 2008's addiction. It's just I don't think that game will ever change. That game will always be something people play all the time. There's a bunch of guys at Office who play it all the time.
Scrabble is forever.
The problem that I have with it is that I like playing with folks where it's like, okay, well, we're just playing, having a good time. But some people take that shit way too serious.
You can say that about any game, really.
Like Padilla, he's not fun to play word with friends with, because he like plays this whole massive I'm gonna block up the middle of the board strategy at the beginning, and like with all these little short words to like make the board all fucked up, mm-hmm. and then try to come back in and snipe stuff afterwards. I'm like, dude, just freaking play some words and like I don't
words
know.
With former
yeah,
friends.
I'm playing with the friend back in Minneapolis, and she went to school for library sciences. Yeah, that shit ain't fun. I'm going to use all of the letters all of the time. I don't even know these words.
Onomatopoeia.
Seriously, she does that twice.
I don't ridiculous. Know. It just came to mind. I bet there's not even enough letters to do onomatopoeia, are there?
Probably but, not. You know, to be totally, I mean, that's something I'm playing just on the side. But yeah, I've been really knee deep in my, well, I can't say too knee deep, but very busy with my 3DS. I love the Pilot Wings. I said it, you know, once they...
It lived up, huh?
You don't get bored with it.
Pilot Wings I don't get bored with, but it's very short. I have not finished it. I'm taking my time because I know it's only 4 or 5 hours of game time for the main section of the game. I really enjoy it. I think they nailed Pilot Wings. I wish it was a little bit longer. It did not have the same length of gameplay and options that Pilot Wings 64 did. So
you mean in the missions? Because I wish
they had the bonus missions where they shoot Mario out of the cannon and all that sort of shit. I want all of it, you know, for a launch title. When this is Nintendo's, well, I want to clarify, not it was a Nintendo title, but it was made by a bunch of dudes in Minnesota. They should have done a full-fledged Pilot Wings. Pilot Wings in 15 fucking years. Give me a break. Let's do it.
I wanted more out of the open flight. I wanted to have just random challenges that were out there. I wanted there to be more space. I mean, honestly, you can fly around. Like, at first, like, oh, wow, look at this island. I can fly around it and go, like, through this. There's, like, the one natural arch, you know, mm-hmm. where the river goes through. You can fly through there. And then you realize, well, that was that feature. There's not many other features like that. Oh, look, here's a couple of buildings. Yeah, oh, there's a couple of buildings and a mountain and some water.
They could have done a lot. I mean, my prediction, or at least I don't know if this is true or not, but my guess is that in Monster Games from Minnesota, that's where I made that reference, that's who actually developed Pilot Wings. I think it was a Wii title that they just shoehorned into
really?
A 3DS title. That's
it
my guess.
It seems so small, though. Console?
I would say it was probably a fully fledged title, but you know, once Nintendo saw that and they're like, oh, we're doing the 3DS thing, they decided to move that over to 3DS, and it probably just took that amount of development time. But yeah, I wouldn't doubt it with all the Mii stuff in there. Yeah, come
I
on.
Guess
it makes sense.
Which right. of the similar to the resort sports resort, right?
Right. So and I would flying. They're probably just using Wii Sports
assets.
Resort's assets and bringing that over. But that
being
said,
which of the aircraft do you like?
I like the squirrel suit. That shit's pretty
surprise.
Cool.
Surprise.
It's neat.
Surprise.
Hang gliding is still difficult. You know, when you try, you could hit all of the rings and do everything right in hang gliding and then get to the landing and then just eat it. You know, but that's the challenge of Pilot Wings.
That's
I
actually
really
my favorite part of the
that.
Game. That's actually my favorite part of the game is it feels so right when you're at the bottom of your landing approach in the hang glider. And I have my hand out and you feel that rotation because you're starting to kick your legs down and you can really like, get that sense of like the air building up behind the glider and pulling yourself to a stop. And I find myself like really like watching and just flying it by the seat of my pants. And it works. I like that a lot.
But I would have liked more than just the island. I think, you know, obviously as an island it works well in a small burst, but
another island or even just like God, even if they had just done a cop out and done like a Cloud City or something. I don't know. Just something more because the flying mechanics work so well. Although I'm not a big fan of the jet suit. the jetpack.
Oh, that's just, that's old school pilot wings.
Yeah, though. I know it's old school pilot wings. I just, I don't know. It doesn't.
I just, you're not skilled.
No, but I really. That's not what your mom said.
Oh, yeah. Boy, here we go.
Yeah, had to bring that back. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. For, that was the main reason why I bought a 3DS. And I'm glad I have, I've played other games to kind of like space it out. So, you know, I'm on the expert levels now, and those are pretty tricky. I'm making sure that I get all of the stars because I want to hit those perfect scores.
You know what is a good sign is that Pilot Wings is the one game that I come back to and still play.
Really?
Yeah, like because it is at least very short burstable, and it has all those missions which you can keep going back to and like score challenging, and it's very playable and it's fun.
For me, it's that's just, Street Fighter, but.
And Street Fighter's great.
And I like Lego Star Wars, too.
I'm not a giant Street Fighter guy, so I borrowed it from a friend, and you know I'm having some fun with it. It's the only title out of all of them that has online,
yeah.
You know, which is kind of ridiculous, and uses all of the things, you know, the neat features that the 3DS offers, which also blows my mind. And but, you know, I'm not a Street Fighter guy, so. But it does look great. They do a good job with the 3D. As you know, I will say I did talk to Brian Leahy, and he thinks it's terrible.
Why?
It's not for the expert crowd.
Well, of course not. It's all, look at the platform,
a big glowing button on the center that lets you do a special move. Is that why?
I didn't ask him to. I knew he would hate it, and he did. So, but I just had to bring that up. But
I think that's kind of sad.
I think it's it's not the cheating, but it's the touchpad, because you can actually do all the special moves. Which, if you think about Street Fighter, for the audience that it's for the people that can't, that aren't going to the arcades or kicking the crap out of people online on Xbox Live. Like, it's for a easier, if you're, an easier if experience.
You're, yeah, if you're a competitive player, are you going to be playing it on a handheld?
Is no.
That, yeah. So
I don't think so. It's for people like me who aren't very good and can't do the quarter circles or the whatever button presses that you do. It's cool. I enjoy it. I purchased two games with it. I bought Pilot Wings and I bought Nintendogs plus cats.
Really?
Yes. You know.
Are you raising a cat or a dog?
Well, you start with a dog and you have to, you know.
You have to earn your cat.
You have to earn your cat. And then your cat just sits there on the shelf.
Dogs are for anybody. Cat, you got to fucking
earn. The sideways look Jeff was giving me, I think he was very worried about what might pop out of my mouth next.
Yeah.
But as usual, I played the original.
You got to go down to the Zales at the mall and pony up for at least a bracelet or something. Yeah. And
it's not
a couple of good dinners.
I mean, it's still not a game. It's still something you still kind of fuck with. But, you know, I bought it for showing off the features of the system and, you know, being able to. Fuck it. I got a cat. I have a cat. I like cats. All right. So be it. Suck it. That's all I got to say. I have no defense of why I got Nintendogs.
I still feel like the killer app on that damn thing is Face Raiders.
Find Me.
Yeah.
Is actually really cool. You can use the Street Pass, and when you actually get into a group of people that have 3DSs, that stuff is actually pretty cool. Like,
I think if you had a regular group of friends that you were around all the time, that Find Me would be the most fun, because you would get the leveling up mechanic.
Correct.
Every time you meet someone, you know, another time, then their warrior level increases in Find Me, which like opens up new avenues. And I'm sure there's more than just the one dungeon path, but like for the average person, maybe I'm not average, but for someone like me who's around groups occasionally, but most of the time is just, you know, back and forth to places or at work or whatever, it's tough because there's like two people at work that have them. And like they're all leveled up to like 7 and 8 now, but I need more warriors. I need more warriors, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think when we have events like E3 and you bring your 3DS there and you get like 100 bajillion, you know, Street Pass things, like I think that is really, really interesting. The first time we went to the Insomniac Community Day, you know, I picked up 10 or 11, and that was when I really got to see, oh, this is really cool. But even in a city like Los Angeles, like it's just not a lot happening. I bring my 3DS pretty much with me wherever I go, and still don't get a lot of hits.
Do you have it here right now?
I did not bring it.
Pretty much wherever
I'm focused on weekend.
The important
confirm.
Places that he goes.
I'm very, very serious about confirming the weekend.
You are, well, I can't really argue with that.
So,
although I could have used another soldier.
This is true. Well, we have Street Pass to my friend.
I know, so you'll be a higher level soldier. Yes,
it'd be level 2 Garnet.
It's funny, you know, like, here we are talking about that stuff, and And the things that seem to be the best about the 3DS are, at least to me, like I thought maybe they would be, not the 3D effect, but some of the other elements of it, like street passing and the circle pad, which we were corrected. That's the official name.
Circle pad.
No, but I mean, it's also because the launch lineup was kind of crap. I'm sorry, but you know, I don't know what the hell Nintendo has been doing, but they barely made any of those games. They probably had some input on Pilot Wings, but that was made by Monster. Nintendogs is a rehash with cats, okay? So Nintendo actually did that, but Steel Diver was already done. That was a DS game. So, and hell, they're not even doing Ocarina of Time. We just found out being made by Grezzo, which made one Japanese Wii game or WiiWare game. So
that's weird.
This is all pointing to the fact that unless they have just a shitload of 3DS titles that they're going to be showing at E3, we're going to see the next Wii. So,
well, I think
we are.
They might do both.
I mean, you have the price drop, which we're going to come up and talk about in news. But I mean, the price drop is happening or rumored to be happening. But that makes sense. They're not selling a lot of Wiis. We haven't had shit for Wii games this year. Yeah. First party.
Yeah. I think the new Wii comes out and Mario 3D is supposed to carry the 3DS.
And I bet Zelda...
Let's not be locked. Let's try this new, like, more freedom sort of show.
Yeah, and I bet Zelda will be for the next system.
Yeah.
According to...
You do?
Yeah, and then the Wii never had an official Zelda game.
Crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
According to a trusted source who squealed to Engadget, the Wii hardware is going to drop to $150 starting on May 15th. That's going to be $50 off of its current price. No one has done... I mean, it's pretty funny. Like, usually Nintendo's pretty quick to say, no, we don't respond to rumors or anything. There hasn't even been any response that I've seen. Have you seen any response from Nintendo?
So let me just clarify this. So you think that Zelda will not come this year, or that the Wii HD
will come? Zelda will be the holiday title, but I bet whatever the next system would be. It just all signs point to they've been backing off on Wii development for so long, and the 3DS launch is. I mean, there are some
I feel like Zelda isn't going to be for that system.
What the fuck are their teams doing? Really? Like. Counting money? I mean, they can. They probably need that.
It takes
many
a while. It takes, you know, we got 2 years worth of very, very strong sales figures to catch up on, and you know, it's a lot of beans to count.
But I mean, you know, you've got all these N64 rehashes, which I got in an argument on Twitter last night with some people about. But like, you know, those games are they're rehashes, you know, and they're not even being done in house. When you have Zelda, a landmark title, is being done by a random third party in Japan.
So Wii goes to 150 in May. You guys think that's real?
Why not?
I think it's real. I mean, the sales of the Wii are on that downward slope of...
For sure.
Yeah. So I think that's it juices it. And that's
so exactly let me...
And
let me,
do it before E3, before they announce a new system.
Okay. So let me throw the balance equation as I see it out there. In the other generations, we've always talked about, you know, the way people come into the market at different price strata. And one of the big ones, especially for PlayStation, was $149.99. When it went to $149.99, there was a big influx of new consumers into the PlayStation. Matter of fact, if you think back, like PlayStation, talking about one, mm-hmm. stayed at $149 for a long, long time. There was like a long time we were like, when's the PlayStation going to $99? When the hell is it going to $99? And it stayed and it stayed and it stayed. And I think they even went to $129 before they went to $99, didn't they? They did an incremental.
Sounds about right.
They did an incremental drop because it was so strong. Like, they stimulated the sales.
But they
so
also
much.
Still had solid titles coming to that system.
And that's the other side of balance, is that to me, the reason that the Wii has slowed down is not so much the price point. It's that, what is getting you to go into the store and buy a Wii right now? It's just a box.
Exactly.
So how much does this affect?
That's why I don't think Zelda is a Wii HD title. I think, I don't know, it would be kind of a mixed message, I admit, if they came out E3 and said, Zelda's coming out, yay, 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 but also the Wii HD.
They'll put it out on both like they did with Twilight Princess.
They could.
I was about to say, Twilight Princess is high.
Yeah. Mario brand has Zelda brand has become the bridge title,
system. It's not unprecedented. I mean, I'm sure they have numbers to look at that they can see how well or unwell that did for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to get. I think that they will if they do that price drop. they will certainly get an immediate bump in sales. There's no two ways around it. American consumers will see there are certainly people who have been like $200, and then when it goes to 150, there'll be a buying market.
Crazy though that there would be a handheld system for 250 and a home system for 150. That's pretty crazy.
Well, that is
Wii's,
very crazy.
Wii's kind of old at this point.
Yeah. Well, it started out old.
Yeah, true. But I mean,
and at $150, although it does not have an HDMI or even an HD output at all, it's also a Netflix box. Don't forget the Wii also does Netflix. So, you know, this would be like, that's
yeah,
another selling point.
There's nothing that doesn't
clear,
do Netflix.
Crystal clear 480p.
you have to work hard to find something that doesn't do Netflix.
Well, I'm just saying that it's another added value proposition.
I guess. Is somebody going, you know what we need? Netflix. Where the hell can we find? Oh, the Wii does it. Let's get one of those. I don't think anybody's doing that, but
I bet the kids are. When mom and dad are watching it downstairs on a 360 or PS3, the right way, and then Junior's got his Wii up in his room, and he's, you know, whatever.
That was my point was more that it has the capability, not that it's a selling feature. But it was fun to listen to you like real. Like, I don't think we need to find Netflix.
Just saying,
you can get Netflix right here on the iPad.
You can get on anything. You can get on my wristwatch at this point.
Really?
No,
I want to see that. That would be awesome.
Soon, I'm sure. I'm sure there were at CES. I'm sure there were wristwatches that played Netflix.
That would be like one of those old school. Right. It'd be like one of those old school deals where it had like a little magnifying box that you stick on top of your one wristwatch so that the screen looks bigger. Or maybe it's like you connect it up to your monocle and you're like,
up to your monocle, something that you wear every day.
Oh yeah,
it's very convenient.
Of course, that's where my altered, you know, my alternate reality projection device is.
Right, like the bad guy in Last Starfighter?
Yes, exactly. Augmented reality for the win. Augmented reality monocles.
But he's, you know, even though you guys are joking around about it, I mean, Nintendo announced their release dates for all those titles. Zelda's coming in June. That game's probably already way done. So, okay. And then Star Fox got announced for July in Japan. So that means July, August, we'll see Star Fox somewhere.
Who's building Fox?
Unknown. Hmm. Nintendo's being really sly. I mean, nobody knew about Monster Games.
I bet I have an idea about who's building that. What happened
off?
To F-Zero?
Was that a subtle hint?
What?
That you might have an idea of who's making Star Fox for the 3DS?
What?
That would be pretty cool if the originators that are in Kyoto would be making the...
So, what about F-Zero?
F-Zero would be great, but that's... Nintendo hasn't done one in-house in a while. F-Zero GX was Sega.
There has to be one on the books, right? Though, I mean, if you're going to bring back Kid Icarus, you got to bring back F-Zero.
Wait a minute. Let's go back half a tick here. So, doesn't the fact that Zelda's coming in June throw off your whole hypothesis about Zelda being for a new system?
Why?
No, Zelda...
3D.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time.
Oh, Ocarina of Time. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's June.
Yeah, that's...
Right after E3.
All right. I'm caught up now. Proceed.
However, if Q Games is working on Star Fox for the 3DS, that would be fucking awesome.
No one said... I didn't say that.
Just saying, if that
purely
was the team...
Purely speculative.
Who's had a lot of work with that game
Well, obviously, because, you know, Dylan was at Argonaut back in the day.
Right. I mean, all I'm saying is there's so many things that are spaced out. These are all rehashes, and... There's nothing original. It all signs point for awesome, as far as I'm concerned. I would love to see it, and I would much rather, you know, Zelda looked great last year's E3. I thought it looked fantastic. Would I want to see that in 720 or 1080? Hell yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I would love to see it with some. It just would look very good in actual high res. It would look amazing. So, yeah, I would love...
You're not worried about the initial art hurdles that everyone has when they jump into the HD world.
Why? People have been making HD games for 5 years now.
But other teams, but folks who have been working on Nintendo consoles and making Nintendo art and Nintendo characters.
Nintendo makes three games a year. They can handle it.
Okay.
What else are their teams doing?
I'm just saying there's a learning process as well. There's a learning process to go through that we saw in the beginning, especially of the 360 era, of not just up-resing everything, but also the way you have to redo your art. I mean, think about it going back to like 8-bit to 16-bit era, 16-bit to 32-bit era, and like the old SD television era to the HD television era. It's not just taking what you had before and pumping it up and like doing a little more. You have to be thinking about it from the outset of what does my artistic creative design look like.
That being said, Nintendo also has help, you know, like,
oh yeah,
they'll you know, they had Tecmo do Metroid, they had Sega do F-Zero before, you know, now a lot of their ports are being done by other teams. I think Nintendo is just fine. If they need to invest money, they're fine.
I'm just
wallet.
Saying you're not concerned about that. It doesn't.
No.
Okay.
I'd love to see it. I mean, am I ready to buy all new consoles and stuff? No, but
in a game that has
if it
potential,
was on the Nintendo side, I would probably happily make the investment.
In a game that has the potential density of a Zelda, where you've got like lots of stuff, like, you know, lots of gear and equipment, and then things in the world to go play with, and lots of NPCs, and you know, and what's the, you know, we always get into big arguments over which art vocabulary do we like of Zelda the most? Is it Wind Waker? Is it Ocarina? Is it, I mean, what else do people like? What are their paradigms? Like, I mean, obviously Wind Waker was the one of the most
right, and that
argued
that art
Zeldas.
That art style's kind of has been moved over to the portable.
Right,
so
right, exactly.
Now we've got this more, not realistic, but you know what I mean?
More grown up or whatever.
Yeah, the adult Zelda. So, I mean, the games, Zelda's been in development for 4 to 5 years at least. At least they're ready.
So that sort of implies that it really is more of just a Wii HD, or at least that they're tying themselves into bringing over the same input device, because that game is built around that input device.
Correct.
Wow, how did we wind up doing the Nintendo segment?
Billy got invited onto the show.
That's true. That's true. Billy is back.
I've
to
had
his,
a lot of pent up stuff.
He's back to his Nintendo World Report heritage.
That's great.
Right there. How's the site doing?
That site's, I guess they're doing pretty good. You know, they've been really busy with the 3DS stuff.
I guess so.
If you do have a 3DS, though, do not buy Bust-A-Move Universe. That game should have been like, that should be like $4 or $5 in the new download shop whenever the hell that opens.
It's Bust-A-Move in 3D, right?
It's, yeah, but
there's
it's
a
not
universe
even,
involved, I'm assuming. Some sort
you
of universe.
You would like to, you know, why not, why is there no online? Why is there no multiplayer? It's just, it's terrible. It was the worst shitty port I've seen for a game in a very long time. Winning Eleven's actually pretty good, by the way. I know you're a pro Evo. That is also a port, and it uses even the same assets, the same music as last year's game. But
DS game?
No, not the DS game. Like the 360 or PS3. It doesn't have the same level of fidelity as the 360 or PS3. But like the menus, it's just it's funny if you played last year's game and you pick up the 3DS version. The 3D looks really good. It defaults to the first person or first third person, that viewpoint. But you can bounce it out and do normal widescreen view. But it's actually pretty good. Difficulty needs a little work, but For footy fans, it's pretty cool.
So. Okay. And on that note, go Spurs, beat Arsenal next Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care for either team.
Whatever. I have my adopted team. You got anything else to throw in here before we throw to the break and come back on the other side and do the other things in the world that aren't Nintendo?
No, I'm good.
All the Nintendo fans, I hope you're like really happy. We brought Billy in. The hammer brought the Nintendo love.
That's right.
He brought it strong.
Send me your friend codes.
Where would you like them to send them? Twitter?
At Louis the Cat.
Okay, so there you go. At Louis the Cat on Twitter with your friend codes for Billy Berghammer. When we come back in a little bit, we're going to have the front page later on. We've got some Capcom game announcements, and we got more Netflix stuff with Kinect coming to the 360 experience for Netflix. You can wave your hands around Minority Report style. When we come back on the other side, we're going to do more games, more what you've been playing. Stick around. We'll be right back. You know, between all those 3DS games and Crysis 2, Homefront, and Shift 2, there's a whole lot of games to get this week, and I don't know if you could buy all of them, so why not try out renting them from Gamefly? You will get your game shipped directly to your door. All you have to do is set it up online. You can go by Gamefly.com, and of course, we've got a code for you, a good code, I think. Click on that joystick in the upper right-hand corner, type in the code CONFIRMED. Buy your first month, and we will back it up with a second month for free. Yes, it's a BOGO. Buy one, get one free. So give it a shot, you know? Try out some games. Get Shift 2, Crysis, or your 3DS stuff right to your door from Gamefly. It seems right that we did so much talk about Nintendo there and transitional periods. I actually have a really good question from a couple weeks ago from KF Grip that's coming up in the warning that I want to talk about that I think you guys will be interested in after that.
Excellent.
So, other games. Jeff.
I've been playing a lot this week.
I've been playing a game you gave me on this little device right here.
Oh.
This iPad. Okay, you know what? And actually, you'll be glad to know. So I was up at the Bethesda event this week, and I got other people who had iPads hooked on this game, too.
It's great. I mean, I remember you and I commiserating after E3 last year about where XCOM is going.
Yep.
And how it's not going where it has been.
So the game we're talking about is Hunters HD Episode 1 for the iPad and iPad. It's also an iPhone. Did you know that?
I did, yes. I haven't played it on iPhone, though.
Is that why there's the HD added at the end?
I guess. Yeah,
that means iPad edition for some
reason. Yeah, that
means
you can pay $10 more.
Yeah. Actually, this one is...
$8.
$8, yeah.
So it's free for the first two character levels, which you burn through really quickly.
Yeah.
But it is enough to let you know that you want to play the game. Mm-hmm. And then it's $8 to open up the whole game. They also have, like, the in-app, like, buy credits to advance yourself. I don't know.
Everybody freemium.
Yeah, when EA does that and like, you know, Need for Speeds and stuff, like it's still...
Yeah, but you paid for Need for Speed. I mean, this is...
You pay for this.
Well, you do, but you're not paying $60 out of the box and then... I mean, I think it's a little different. It's that whole freemium model where it's like, yeah, you can play the game.
Advance yourself faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So Hunters is really cool. I really, really like it. This device is really perfect for tactical turn-based command games.
Perfect.
Like the whole like all the paradigms you already like intuitively know of like stretching and pulling and rotating to look at the map and all those things make it really easy to navigate the map. The whole like touch the command and then touch where you want them to go.
Yep.
Super, super easy.
And because it's turn-based and not real time, you're not fighting with the interface. The interface feels very natural.
Yep.
And whereas in real time, I would be like, oh, my finger's getting in the way and I'm not seeing the thing. But turn-based, I can take my time, I can select.
And it's easy to pop out. I mean, that's the big deal about these games for me, is that I can play a big game if it's something that I can seamlessly get in and out of when I want to and just like put it on hold, you know, go back to the home screen and like play it when I want to. Yes.
So Hunters, I mean, what's the whole premise? Is it like...
In the future, humanity has reached out to the stars. And bounty hunters such as yourself administer justice for corporations as they take over planets in the imperial doctrine of the human race.
As you can tell, story is a big selling point for this game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so basically,
I don't know if it was castles or space. That's what basically
space.
Was. Space. Space, cool. Good.
And like, you know, a couple of centuries from now, humanity's expanded out to...
Space Marines.
I've heard of them.
Shotguns, pistols.
Lasers.
Some lasers.
Classic kind of thing. You have all these corporations that are trying to own planets. The governments don't exist anymore because it's all just corporations. It's going to be like that. Pizza Hut, I hear. And Taco Bell.
Word.
And so you get a number of missions. And one of the things that I think is really smart that they did is the daily mission rotator.
That is very cool.
So like every 24 hours, it drops new missions into your system for you. Now, one thing I don't know is it downloading those or is it just randomly generating those?
I think it's randomly generating them because they're not that different.
Oh, no. It's like it's just mix and match. It's sort of like this is an assassination. This is a defend a dude. This
and
is a blow-up generator.
What, like three or four different environments that you can...
It's like snow and desert
yeah.
and space station and forest
yeah.
that I've been to.
Who's developing it?
The guys. I don't know. I got it right here. Hold on. I'll open it up.
Mr. Hunter.
It's like it's
Mr.
It's
HD.
I read on their website that it's four guys from the
Andromeda.
UK who were rodeo games.
Word.
Rodeo games. Of course, who doesn't think of British people in rodeos?
Maybe it's rodeo.
Oh, it could be rodeo games.
Also. Not appropriate. Whatever.
So it has all of the elements of XCOM with leveling up all your squad members. It's very gear based, where you know you can choose. Okay, do I want to go long range, lighter attack, short range, heavier attack, or you know melee, the heaviest attack? We have the confirmers. I said my team is the confirmers.
Nice.
Jeff C. He's on the hammer. I should have had you on the hammer.
I know. Really?
I missed on the hammer. Sorry. I have Billy B. on machine guns.
I'm cool with machine guns.
You're good with your machine guns. You're like, you got the SMG, man. You're like...
The game is deceptively complex, I think. It is simple, yet it requires some strategy in order to survive. It's not an easy game.
It requires some... Yeah, you have to play tactically well.
Yeah, you can't just rush in and try to kill everything.
But it is fairly simple.
Well, it's...
Sounds like Othello. You have to be older to get that reference. Sorry.
Wow.
That was kind of awesome. Parker Brothers would be very pleased.
Anyway, yeah, very. I think I don't mean not simplistic in the sense of everything isn't intuitive and pretty straightforward. I mean it. You kind of have to think. You have to think a little bit.
Going back to like the days of like playing SSI turn-based strategy games on PC. One of the things that I like that they did.
Board games.
What's a board game? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love the thread, by the way, on Shack. They're like,
it's where SSI came from.
Bring Seven Kingdoms to the show. Seven Wonders. And you're like, is that the right one? I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to get the right one.
Well, I don't want you to have your first experience bad and then go, ugh. I want you to be hooked.
It's like beer, you know? That first one wasn't
so good. It's an acquired
taste. Yeah, it wasn't so good. But then after that, you're like, man, I could go for another couple of Sam Adams right now.
It is addictive.
I think one thing that I like the most of the way they did their system is that they made the action point deal really simple. It's all driven by armor class. So if you're heavy armor, you have the fewest action points. And if you're light armor, you have the most action points. Because it's primarily a move-based idea. It's like, okay, you can move further if you're a lot more lightly armored. And they didn't do the locked move by player. In other words, if you still have a pip on your player, you can go back to them, which I think is really cool because they are very hardcore on their line of sight requirements.
Yeah.
So like if you have a man in front of another man, then he's not going to get line of sight to an enemy that's beyond him.
Right.
So this means that you have to play a lot of this, like bring a guy up, have him make a couple attacks and then decide, okay, am I low enough on armor that I want to move him back? Or do I want to use him in front as a shield? Do I want to bring this other guy around to take an attack? Or do I want to bring one guy in, put him at the back, have him use an assault rifle and then have other guys filtering in front of him to block? It's like in all that moving around, it's very flexible and dynamic because you don't just like move a guy one place and then he's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's
great game.
Yeah, it is really fun. I like it. Have you had any like near wipes? I had a near.
Oh, definitely.
Have you had any wipes?
I have not had any wipes.
I had a wipe.
I would, and I was trying to do the, because there's always a bonus objective too.
Yeah.
For every,
like, have everybody live or wipe out everybody on the level.
Yeah.
Did you get to flamethrower guys yet?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Awesome.
The first time I hit the flamethrower guys last night on the airplane, and they just took my team out. I guess I didn't have the right, I hadn't really paid attention to the way I was armoring, and I guess I didn't have good flame retardant on my armors. And not only like the flamethrower is like 5 or 6 square range. So, you know, like I'm clearing out, it's one of those levels where it's like take out 2 generators. So I'm like, I have like 2 squads, one group of 2, one group of 3, and they're like working through the rooms, doing pretty well, I was feeling pretty good about things. And I came to like a choke point, and I think the maps might be random, but they seem to typically have a good combination of like courtyard areas and then buildings that create corridors between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of this corridor into a little open, into an open courtyard area. And I saw like one guy, and I'm like, okay, I've already taken out a bunch of guys. I'm going to rush this dude. So I bring my hammer guy in. Well, I bring Jeff in. Jeff walks up to this guy with the machine gun, is like, whap, whap, takes him down and is out of action points. But as soon as that guy drops, of course, then line of sight opens. And there's like 2 flamethrower guys behind him. And they just, I had lost one guy. I'd lost Del Rio. I'd lost you already. But that's because Del Rio is the shotgun guy. And so he's always in the front
of the battle. To his credit, though, he did say, go on without me, guys.
Yeah, he did.
I will die so you can live.
Go Seahawks, dead.
And then I was really pissed because the flamethrower guys, like, they just chewed me up. Totally chewed me up. And then I realized I didn't want to throw the iPad across the airplane. And I was very angry. I was like, damn it. I didn't know the flamethrowers are going to beat me up like that.
Yeah. Well, you can replay missions, though, which is good. I've done
it. Yeah, so the death penalty is not there.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's the influence of casual games on, like, this is a serious sort of game, right? The idea of tactical, turn-based strategy, combat, obviously, very serious sort of game. But then I don't feel punished in it at all.
Yeah.
So I really like it a lot.
It's good.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to spend the $8 because now I've been, like, playing it. I'm like, everybody is leveled all the way up, and I'm like, buying gear that I can't even use. And like, I'm like, I should have bought the game, like, 3 days ago. And I guess, okay, obviously, I like it.
$8, man. You can't really go wrong.
No, you can't really go wrong, I guess.
And it seems a lot in the iOS store state of mind for some reason, but it's not really.
$8 for this? I'll get another 3 or 4 weeks out of it.
Yeah.
And I play it, like, you know, in downtime. And that's the thing I like about the turn-based deal. And the missions are good. I mean, I'd say an average mission for me is taking about 20 minutes, and then I probably spend just because I'm, you know, OCD on it, I probably spend 10 minutes in the armory and the trade, like comparing all the weapons and be like, okay, oh, look, this one has like 10% higher crit chance, but its accuracy is 5% less, but the damage is about 100 points more.
That's the fun of those games, though.
Absolutely. And like totally figuring out the balance, what you want to do that. Yeah. I think I'm going to put you in heavier armor.
Oh, I like being nimble and quick.
But you're the hammer guy. And yeah, so you true. Have to wait. Like the problem I'm finding
hammer
with
smacks
that.
People pretty.
Oh, hardcore. The hammer is awesome.
And so you want to get him to the front.
Dude, I have you with a powered up hammer. Like you have one shot killed a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I have.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I have.
But the problem is that the game's AI is fairly smart about using its ranged guys appropriately and having them with covering arcs of fire mm-hmm. and getting that hammer guy to a point where he can be effective is a little bit of like wading through no man's land. You know, it's pretty dangerous. There have been more than one time where I've like tried to get you to attack a guy I needed to attack, and oh, that's you came around a corner. There happened to be a guy around the other corner who was waiting for opportunity fire.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, oh, look, I have two pips of opportunity fire. Bam, 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 bam. And now you're like half health. And that's not cool.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've talked about that game enough.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Did you see that they said in their patch notes that they are planning multiplayer?
That would be awesome.
That would be like,
that was my next question.
Especially if it's asynchronous, if I can take my turn and then.
And there's no reason you couldn't.
Me. Yeah.
It could be played by email. Yep. Totally be played by email.
Hunted with friends.
HD.
HD.
Yeah. Or you could play it on your iPhone. You have an iPad.
I did. I do not any longer.
Did you sell it?
No. That was a work thing.
Oh. I understand that. So what else are we been up to?
I got tons of games, dude. I don't know what you want me to talk about. I've been playing Rift.
I want to talk about Rift
thing last week. Got Ratchet and Clank and Twisted Metal this week.
I want to talk about Rift. Well, I want to talk about all these games.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, we'll just carry them over. Tell me about Rift, because it's still sitting on my table at home, but mm-hmm. I have like, so, man, I have no time to play games. It sucks.
Well.
Or I have no time to play games that I'm not like assigned to.
I hear you're not Nazareth anymore.
You kind of still kind of are. I would say Rift is like 98% WoW. Do you like WoW?
I like the WoW.
Wow.
Choking y'all up.
Yeah.
You're more like 120% because you have four letters in Rift and only three letters in WoW.
Yeah. It's a very good game. But like I said, 98% WoW. If you like WoW, if you've played WoW, it'll feel like a comfortable old shoe. Anything that you're doing in that game, you're like, well, in WoW it would work this way. That's pretty much the way it works.
Okay.
Everything has analogs to, you know, all the professions are exactly the same. You know, it's
really,
it's not called blacksmithing. It's called armor smithing. It's not called skinning. It's called butchery. It's, you know,
butchery.
It's, yeah. It's,
that is sort of butchery.
It's first of all, very pretty game. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very pretty.
Can I get a porterhouse about an inch and a half thick, please?
I have to level up my butchery before I can give you one. Very good looking. So it's WoW, but pretty.
So here's a question I have. How much hardware are you running on at home? I haven't asked you that in a long time.
I have a new computer. So I got it in the last year. So
like Core i7 or?
Yes.
He's like, I don't know, it's got some guts in it.
I can't remember what I bought.
Sony
I used
guts.
To be the guy that like would build my own computers, and now I just like clickety-click, and there it
so
arrives.
Is it pushing your system very hard?
I would say no. It's pretty, but I don't. I mean, I'm on Ultra, no problems, and it's a high frame rate. I don't think it's, you know, it's not Crysis.
So it looks good because of the art, not because of the like bleeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever I was gonna say, bleeding.
Yeah, I think the art is high quality. There's some nice effects, but it's, yeah. Anyway, so where it differentiates from WoW, I think those are the key points. And it does some interesting things. First of all, you know, a lot of the games that come out that are sort of WoW-esque that I've played, Ion is kind of WoW-esque, and some of the other ones, they always feel like this is very much the similar experience to WoW, but when WoW first came out, you know? And this game feels very polished already, very polished. And they've made, like, smart little advances, insignificant stuff, but it, added together, it makes a big difference. For example, you know, reassigning your keys, you can just scroll over the icon that you want and push the key that you want to do that icon. So you don't have to like navigate the menu. It's very intuitive that way. And that's a small little thing, but there's a lot of that stuff where it's like, these guys played WoW and went, God, I wish it worked that way. And then they made that game. So anyway, where it differentiates from WoW is the idea of these rifts, which work very much like Warhammer Online did, where you could walk into a big public event that's happening with a bunch of other people, and all of a sudden you're in a group with them that you didn't have to party up with them. You just sort of are all doing the quest together because you're in the same
place. It's impromptu.
Exactly. And so basically these rifts open up, or you can, you know, these little rift things start and you can rip them open, and then bad guys start spewing out of them, and then everybody can rush to that place and close that rift.
Right.
And you get, you know, a certain kind of currency for doing that that you can't get any other way, and that's how you get souls. And
aren't there like different ones? Like, I remember like when they were demoing it, they said like there would be different sorts of rifts.
Yep, there's events. Life rifts and death rifts and fire rifts and all kinds of, and there's certain quests where it's like, we'll close 4 fire rifts, so you it incentivizes you in really cool ways.
I thought the ones that sounded the coolest were the ones that would spawn random town assaults, where like a
that happens a lot. Yeah,
that where, sounded like really
if you
cool.
don't close it fast enough, 4 badass dudes will be like, I'm gonna go pillage the town, and then you'll arrive in that town to turn in a quest or something, and you can't because it's being attacked by things, so you have to kind of team up and kill that thing before you can turn your new quest.
See, what I like about this is I think it brings in that dynamic element that keeps PvE interesting and encourages you to play with other people. And I think one of the reasons, I mean, conceptually when I was thinking about this, one of the reasons that a lot of people, I think, got into PvP in WoW is that because all of that of stuff in WoW is static, it becomes very, you really see the like, oh, this is another go get X number of this, or this is another get this and take it to so-and-so and then find this and bring it back to this person. And then, you know, all because they are ranging all their quests like that. And though these are still programmed, I mean, they're still programmed events. It's not like they're like really that creative.
Yeah, and especially after you've done a few rifts, it's pretty much rinse and repeat.
That's a shame.
Because they're very, even different rifts don't, they have a certain pattern associated with them. Mm. And after you've done a few of them, it's like, okay, it's the same.
So not as good as I'd hoped then.
It's cool.
Because what I hoped would happen is when they would fire off, that things would change based off what people did. Because the whole thing about like PvP is that there may have been a ton of paladin frost mage fights, but every one of them is a little bit different depending on what tactics each of them takes and how the battle unfolds. Whereas going, and you could sort of say that, I guess, about questing. Well, you could say it a lot about questing, except that those quest points are usually the same things, and then those mobs become the same mobs. But I guess what you're saying is in Rift, the mobs, when they attack, become the same mobs over and over.
Yeah, like closing a Rift becomes, you know, kill 4 of those things. Okay, that stage is complete of the Rift. Then you're going to kill 2 of these slightly more powerful things. That stage is complete. And then there's a big bad boss that, you know, kill that guy. And there's like a bonus stage. But it all kind of plays out in the same way every time. And that to me got a little stale.
Hopefully they'll tweak that with like updates.
Yeah, I agree. The other big differentiation between this and World of Warcraft is how they handle class and customization of your character. There are only 4-5 main classes: cleric, warrior, rogue, mage. I think that's it. But within those, you get these things called souls, and each of those has like 8 sub-souls, and you can equip 3 souls at any given time, but you can acquire every single soul of your class and swap them in and out whenever you want. So you can really truly create a hybrid that plays exactly how you want. So there will be a mage that can do healing. There will be a rogue that can tank. There will be all these really, you know, like you can have like an assassin.
What?
Yeah, it has all kinds of weird subclasses, and by equipping those different souls and then putting your leveled up points, when you put points into something, that's how you get the new skills associated with it, the new spells and
yeah, okay,
actionable icons. So you can put points into any one of those souls that you want. Any one of those 3 that you've got equipped, and that will give you all of their, all of the spells that they have. I'm not doing a good job of explaining this at all.
We were more laughing at Billy, who was like,
I'm okay.
Anyway.
Sorry, it was funny.
Whereas in WoW, you would have, you know, you have your talent tree, yes, and you can have one of 3 talent specifications, and you pretty much, you can mess with, you know, 3 or 4 different points in those trees, and kind of, if you decide to be a fire mage, you're pretty much putting all your points in fire mage. I mean, in fact, with the latest patch, you have to put all your points in fire mage before you can go to any of the other trees. And then that's kind of who you are. And so that's, there's one of three for each class that you select. In this game, there's like something like 1,500 different combinations of classes. And wildly different combinations of, you know, I was playing a cleric. And I initially was a Kabbalist, which is like this sort of death cleric, which is sort of the antithesis of what a cleric is in D&D. But then I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to put some points, or I'm going to take the soul for the Justicar, which is the hand-to-hand shield and mace kind of up-close guy. So I had this weird dichotomy of far away, weak mage, you know, ranged DPS guy with get in there, smack people around, and heal close up guy.
But does that make sense? I mean,
it gets to the point where you can
stuff
sort of.
It kind of, I mean, you can kind of break like the rogue, game. A rogue can tank. It's like, well, that guy is probably wearing. I'm assuming the rogue's wearing cloth.
Well, it's a dodge tank. So it's all based on avoiding instead of. Oh, okay. Taking hits, he's maintaining aggro, but dodging.
It's like a priest tank.
Well, it's crazy. And some of the things that they did with healing is interesting in the sense that healing as a mage healer, you're not, and even as a cleric healer, you're not sitting back and kind of stepping outside of the battle like you do in WoW and waiting for people to get hurt and then healing them. Healing is based on how much damage you can do to the mob. So you're doing very specific attacks that are attacking the mob, and based on how much damage you're doing to him, people are getting healed.
Okay.
So you don't feel that sense of detachment that you have in WoW.
So you're not like, I should heal Jeff, but you're more like AoE.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I need to do this to the bad guy so that Jeff gets healed.
Okay.
Yeah.
This class system is absolutely nuts. I'm looking at it right now, and now that I sort of like get my head around it, it is actually a really cool kind of subcategorization of each style, but still letting him have the archetype for how their core play mechanic is. So in other words, if you're a cleric, you're still fundamentally a holy healer type. However, how you execute that holy healing depends on everything from, like you were saying, whether you're going to be a Justicar to a Purifier to a Sentinel. And
right.
Each of
so
them,
like, for example, a Purifier is like sort of the pure healing subset. And then you can be a Druid, which is sort of like, you know, has pets and or you can be the guy who's got a sword and shield and smacking stuff really up close. There's a whole wide range of options there. And you can have any combination of those. So, like I was saying, you get to the point where you can almost break the game if you take a weird combination. For example, my situation where before level 15, where you can get any soul you want by closing a rift, I was in a situation where I was like, well, half of my skills are stand back, don't get hit, and kill from afar, and the other half of my skills are wade in there and things happen based on hits from my weapon. So I'm at cross purposes. You know, I can't do both of those at the same time.
Sounds like a good solo class.
It's a great, I mean, I think all of them are interesting solo classes because you can mix and match however you really want. And even warrior can cast some spells. I mean, there's lots of variety in there.
I think if this sounds interesting to you, you should probably go to riftgame.com and just check out the classes thing alone. I mean, it is really kind of cool now that I'm spending the time to sit here and look through it. I didn't see the game a lot. The only demo I saw of Rift was literally one that was solely focused on, here's what we're doing with the rifts. Uh-huh. And here's the concept behind it. It's going to be, we're going to inject, you know, new stuff into the game for PvE on a regular basis. I didn't realize that they had like gone this way with the classes. This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of cool.
I think it's the major selling point of the game. My biggest gripe with the whole thing is that it feels so similar to WoW in so many respects.
So if that's the case, do you think that you then don't get pulled away from WoW eventually? Eventually go back to WoW? Does this bring you back to WoW?
I don't know. I feel like if I'm a WoW player and I'm looking for something different, this doesn't give me enough different. It's mm-hmm. just, it's like half a step
Well,
different.
I don't know. The class system looks pretty fucking different.
It's cool, but at the end of the day, you're still... It's still a medieval... a fantasy role-playing game where
you got someone stacking buffs, you got someone doing debuffing, yeah. You got someone healing, you got someone tanking, and maybe
but that's the nature of MMOs anyway.
Well, I mean,
I'm coming off of having a really wonderful experience in DCUO where, yeah, you're still, you know, you still have those paradigms, but in a completely fresh take.
Right, right, right.
Something that feels so different that I was really, it felt refreshing. So.
But the magazine advertisement said you're not.
Did you install the riffs?
I did.
We should, like, maybe, we've said it a bunch of times. Maybe we'll not say anything else, but maybe I'll get in there right after we do board game night.
Yeah, well, we're definitely doing board.
We could line it up right after board game night.
We're doing that.
We do it all night.
I think Asphodel is where the server I'm on.
We'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll hook it up after some words with friends. Now, does your pet get upset if your butchery is too high? He's like, I'm nervous.
He's like, why are you butchering?
You might make brats out of me.
Only if you can get cheese curds to go with them.
Dude, I'm excited about butchery. I want to be all up in that.
But it works exactly like skinning. You kill something that can be butchered, and then you
grillery.
Skew it.
Grillery would be excellent. Churnery, we can make some butter and cheese to go with it.
Cheese curds.
Yeah, of course. So we get, like, I have the whole thing. Oh, brewmaster.
Hell yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is my MMO.
I know.
I'm all up in this.
None of the aforementioned skills might actually be in the game. Other than butchery.
Asterisk.
Yeah, I mean, it's stable. It looks great. It plays... My biggest complaint is that it wouldn't let me.
Sounds like a good girlfriend.
It wouldn't let me
stable. It plays great.
It wouldn't let me remap the apostrophe key for some unknown reason, which is it pisses me off as a left-handed gamer. Yet again, I am screwed by for some unknown reason not being able to remap exactly the keys that I want.
They hate us.
Man. I thought you were happy about the remap. So that's like the one key that doesn't remap.
Yeah, it doesn't. It That's said weird. You cannot change this key for some reason.
Mounts and things like that. How does that work?
Mounts, same. You acquire them. Yeah, I mean, it's.
You know, do you get a mount at 40? I mean, is that like how it goes?
Well, actually, I got the collector's edition, so I started with a mount. But right. I don't know. I think you can get a mount earlier. But I have this cool two-headed turtle thing.
PvP. That's
you have a two-headed turtle for a mount.
Yeah. And there's like a two-tailed wolf that you can get, and horses, and like a
nothing mutated about the horses. Now they're like six-leg horses or anything crazy like that.
Avatar, what?
Yeah. PvP, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a PvP server. There's two factions.
Oh, you're on that.
That Kanata, he's not a Care Bear. He's not a Care Bear at all. He's tough like that.
VO or is it text?
It's all text. In fact. Kind of, it feels like a very disposable lore to me. I found myself not drawn into the...
So I would bet that has a lot to do with why you're having trouble differentiating it from WoW.
Possibly.
You know, because WoW has such a very, very strong lore. And I think this is one of the benefits. You know, I was talking to Sess about this while we were up at the Bethesda thing this past week, is that, you know, this whole idea of building lore and doing an MMO right off the bat, one of the things that it's easy to forget is... WoW had a fantastic lore book that it was building off of.
Three games worth of stuff, too.
You had built all this super rich, you know, fiction, and you knew who the factions were, and you had these fantastic characters and the sense of place. And
I'm not saying that's not there. I'm sure that they wrote some wonderful narrative that I'm just not engaged in because the game is so streamlined, and they've taken all these concepts in WoW and streamlined them to the point of I can just ignore that and go on my merry way, and my mini-map has the area I need to go to. It's got highlighted the exact place where the thing is that I need to loot. It's got a circle that shows me where the mobs are that I need to kill. So I can just ignore all the text, which I don't tend to like to do, but for this game, for some reason, I'm just not drawn into the fiction of the world.
See, so it came up in the context that we were talking about EA's Reckoning game, you know, that they're doing with 38 Studios, and that's coming out before the MMO, which was actually announced a long time ago, but it's establishing the realm. It's giving you a reason to, like, you know, spent time there and then learned all those stories. And of course, they have R.A. Salvatore working on story, too. I mean, that thing actually has a shot at being really interesting. I like the idea of doing the single player. After thinking about it, after Seth talking about it, I'm like, you know what? Actually, that makes a lot of sense. Instead of just throwing me into a world and saying, okay, give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already have a reason to give a damn.
Butchery? Come on now.
You have a reason to give a damn for sticking around because Jeff still has games to talk about, I think.
I got lots.
He's got Twisted Metal. He's got Ratchet and Clank. And we've got all that plus the warning still to come and our character mashup, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the other side of this important announcement.
Ooh.
I don't know what it is. I just don't know. I don't think you have to have the cheap scares. I think you have to have tension.
Get back in your spaceship, Isaac!
I think you have to have something that's really... I think it has to be really engaging.
Just don't land on the planet!
Because it has to be... The more it pulls you into the moment...
Get back in your spaceship! Why are you landing on the planet? Get back in your spaceship, Isaac!
Doesn't break the illusion of being in the game, the more it's able to get you when it gets you.
Why are you landing on the planet?
Just stay right here. Bring me a ding-dong.
The bad shit won't happen.
Isaac!
Or I'm going to walk in the room, there's a dead body
Why
there.
Why are you landing on the planet?
It's Isaac? Not really dead. I know it's not really dead. Just waiting for it to...
Yeah, I thought
Why
that was
you
awesome.
Landing on the planet?
It's never going to happen.
And there it is.
Why
and
are you landing on the planet? Isaac?
I walk by... Like, now I'm, like, walking down a corridor, and I see... Like air vent on the wall, and like, well, at some point in time, that air vent's gonna break.
See, I thought that was kind of scary.
Really?
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 What are you, new? See, I thought that was kind of scary.
Really?
Really?
Yes. And then I don't actually like being scared. Scared.
I'm so smart not to have to put myself through that.
Just don't land on the planet. Get back in your spaceship, Isaac. Isaac. Isaac.
Wow, that's that goes on the greatest hits disc. I think that's one of my favorites.
Just don't land on the planet.
I think that's the name of that track is just don't land on the planet,
or subtitle get back in your spaceship,
get back
Isaac.
In your spaceship.
I like it.
That was great.
Definitely like it. Okay,
very,
we still
very
have
a popular discussion of ours.
Oh, it was a very popular discussion. Definitely, we have lots of discussion points still to get to. We still have the news to get to, but yeah, we still have games to talk about. So let's keep talking about the games.
Yeah.
What else have you wanted?
What do you want to hear about? Inversion?
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal. I want to hear about Twisted Metal. As a hardcore original Twisted Metal fan, I want to hear about Twisted Metal.
Well.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It does not show well, I would say. Or it did not show well to me. I'm not a hardcore fan of the first one. I played it. Liked it.
Hardcore is probably the wrong way. But as a core fan, as someone who in the original, like when PlayStation 1 games still came in a DVD size box guy,
yeah,
and was playing Twisted Metal, like,
you may like it more than I do because it is very much a throwback to that kind of game.
But that would make me happy.
Yeah, but I, for
Spectre?
Me that's in a bad way.
Why?
Why? It's
well, how was it demoed to you? Were there like 8 stations set up, or was it like
there was tons of stations set up, and there was a contest when we were, you know, pitted against one another in multiplayer, and we had a team deathmatch basically. And I think there was last man standing for a while, and the first level that we played was this sort of neighborhood, outdoor neighborhood, you know, like a there's like a church and a stadium and a high school, and you know, I think it's the one that they showed the last time they showed it. But there was new vehicles that they showed. There's some really cool stuff. And hearing Jaffe talk about it, I was like, wow, this game's this is great, because he's talking about how he wants to make it into more of a fighting game than a shooter, so that you've got these combos that you want to pull off and special attacks that'll counter other special attacks, and that kind of thing got me excited. But playing it, it just didn't really that. Part of the design idea didn't really come through.
So Mr. Jaffe is not going to be happy with you, Mr. Kanata.
I'm aware of that.
So explain to him.
I know, and he
explain
specific...
to him. Imagine that I'm David sitting here. Yeah, what the hell are you fucking talking about, Jeff?
You missed a few fucks.
Yeah, there's a few more fucks.
You should yell louder.
First of all, the game did not look very good.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not. And it's possible that that will be improved before the game is released on October 4th. But... I was not impressed with that. It's kind of got this that old grubby PlayStation look that used to be characteristic of the PS2. You know, that sort of browns and grays look. At least that level.
Well, that's a lot of this generation of games too.
Yeah.
Have you seen Resistance 3?
The second level they showed was a departure from that, but the first level was very much that. And there's a big emphasis on destructibility of the environment. You can destroy all the buildings and fences and all.
And how is that not fucking cool?
Well, running your car through a building is not really any different from running it through a fence or running it through some parked cars. Or it all sort of it doesn't feel like there's physics involved. It doesn't feel like a current generation video game. It feels like those throwback to those old games where breaking one thing is same as breaking another thing is same as breaking a
it's
third
like the whole
thing.
World is made of balsa wood.
Yes.
Okay.
Or the whole world is made of video game. Okay. Is really what it is. And some of the attacks are really clever. Like I said, there's these new vehicles they've implemented. There's like a big semi-truck that has this sort of spy hunter or Knight Rider thing where you can like open the back doors and your teammates can pull into the back of your rig.
Oh, so someone drives it.
Someone drives the semi.
Oh, that's cool.
And he opens the back doors, which reveals...
Does he play music?
It reveals a weak point. So if someone shoots through with those doors open, it's like an instant kill on him.
If you get hit in the pooper, it's a bad thing.
Bad thing. But if you let someone into your pooper and they drive right up inside, they can man your turret. And the turret is like the most powerful weapon in the game.
Pooper attack.
Pooper turret. Anyway... So that's cool. There's a
hey,
helicopter.
Del Rio, there's your song for next
week.
Next there you go.
Song has been cast.
I aim to please. There's a helicopter in the game, and the helicopter's got this magnet, so you can pick up bad guys and then take them high and drop them for massive damage. Or you can pick up teammates.
Were you just playing deathmatch, or were you playing any of the team objective modes?
Well, I didn't stay for the third thing. I had to go, unfortunately, because it lasted 4 freaking hours. But The first two levels that they revealed, the first one I played Team Deathmatch, the second one was Team Last Man Standing with shared lives. So I don't know what the third thing they had going on.
Well, what they showed at E3 last year was the nuke defense thing, where there was I forget exactly how it worked, but you had a bomb that you had to get across town. You had to take out different, like one faction was trying to move an object across the map and the other faction was trying to stop them. And so you had to go out and take out the defense systems and like try and get the object across, or conversely, you were trying to take it down. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
What was that name of that mode?
I don't remember.
I will look now that we have the power of the internet while you continue.
While you're doing that, I'll say that the second thing that they showed was this sort of giant funhouse arena that was reminiscent of, you know, the original Twisted Metal kind of arenas. And it was kind of cool. It had lots of dangers. You could fly off the side and land in a lava pit, and you had to drive out as you were being damaged. There's, like, electricity. There's sections of the level that are moving and changing elevation. So it's like being in a giant funhouse where everything is kind of moving all the time, and you don't know where to drive exactly at any given point. And some of the weapons were cool. I found the controls to be a little unintuitive at first. I'm sure that would go away if I played it, you know, over the course of an entire day. And I also felt like the game probably would feel a lot more fun if we were able to communicate with each other as teammates. We had headsets, but none of the communication was working. So
really?
Yeah, we weren't able to talk to each other. And so,
well, that's kind of realistic for a PlayStation 3.
That is not realistic. Like, dude, come on. We were talking about this during the intermission. It is not that hard to get voice chat working on the PlayStation 3.
Some games it is. And just getting people to use fucking headsets anyway.
Okay, getting them to use their headset is a whole other issue. There's a lot of people who get annoyed with it, and I understand that. And I think that
it's
part
different
of,
than 360, because 360 has in the box. Sorry, we can go back to Twisted
Metal.
I think
people take refuge sometimes on PS3 because they perceive that there won't be as many people talking on their headsets, and they get sick of listening to the bullshit that people run on Xbox.
It's true.
In pub games.
Anyway. I want to go into that quiet system. I'm so glad I bought the quiet system. With all those yelling people.
With the Wii?
Anywho, my criticism is that everything felt flimsy. It didn't feel like... What I wish it had felt like is something along the lines of Burnout. But, you know what I mean?
Way different game, dude.
Very different game.
Way different game.
But I want that feeling... Like, in Burnout, I feel like I'm really driving a car down a street, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's... weight to my car. I feel that when I break something, it really breaks.
Yeah,
this feels like a video game. This feels like a
I think I like
flimsy,
it
flimsy. You may
because
and
I
there's
think that,
chaos at a very high level.
So I think that one of the things you have to factor into that is if you added on top of how big the consequences are just for wrecking because of all the physics in Burnout, if you added the sort of weaponry into it that Twisted Metal packs, everyone would be blowing up and dying all the fucking time.
Well, that's kind of what Full Auto did. Not a great game, but it at least had that sort of, I don't know, next-gen-y kind of weight to everything and lots of bits breaking off.
What was the thing you said about Full Auto?
Not a great game.
Mm.
But I would like Twisted Metal to at least feel like that, but be a great game.
That concerns me that you have issues with the weapons, because weapons are kind of half the game.
That's a signature element.
Driving.
Definitely you know? Signature element. Signature.
Yeah.
Did the vehicles feel like, how was the handling and
oh my
like
God.
That?
There was, I tried many of the vehicles and some of them felt like they didn't handle well at all. There were times where I was stuck in a situation where, I mean, I hate to bag on it because it's not until October. A lot can change. And I know mm-hmm. Jaffe spoke even at this event about how upset he was that people bagged on the E3 showing, which it was E3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, we had bugs then. But it crashed several times. I got stuck in geometry a lot. All of that hopefully will change and not be in the final version. But
that would never pass.
I never felt like, basically, and maybe this is how Crystal Metal is supposed to be, but I always felt like I just got to shoot whatever's in my field of view. I can never decide that I want to attack somebody because I can't maneuver effectively enough to decide I want to chase one dude.
Okay, now that's bad because actually Twisted Metal should have a lot of chases in it. Like we used to have some epic fucking chases playing in that game.
Yeah, and, especially when somebody's on your ass, you're like, shit, you know, like, and it was so cool
depending on like which character you played, whether or not they had, you know, what sort of resources they had, whether they were an evader or a turn-in fighter or a like drop stuff like caltrops or slicks behind them. Like, there's so many different strategies to that.
Well, they have, I mean, all of that is back in the game. They have the tow truck, which drops health and other things. And again, maybe we were playing like 20 minute stretches of matches, and I played it 4 times. I just never felt comfortable, and maybe that comfortability would come from a more extended play session. But like I said, the controls felt clunky and unintuitive.
Did the levels have like that cool, like remember how he was always have those vertical layers in all of his levels?
Definitely has that.
That's cool. Because getting cars on third and fourth floors of buildings and then jumping them to other buildings is fucking cool.
And the addition of the helicopter into the game really, I think, intensifies that effect because now you can have your teammate in a helicopter come and magnet you up to the next level. You know, he can actually take people around. And there was some really fun stuff. Like in the arena, there's a section where you can park or stop your car on a pad. And that pad activates a power-up that propels audience members from the arena onto the stage, into the ring. And they're screaming like, oh, God, why? And they are all power-ups. So if you run them over, you get a power up from them.
That sounds kind of cool.
It's got a lot of that wonderful maniacal. I mean, there's the ambulance. Its super attack is it shoots a guy strapped to a gurney, also strapped to explosives, and you can guide him, you know, around. And he's like, "Oh God, why?" And then he explodes. So there's lots of that silliness. It just doesn't feel polished.
All right.
Maybe it shouldn't at this point. But
you didn't like it.
I did not like it.
You missed out on Nuke. So I looked it up. Nuke is the name of that mode, and it's where each team takes a turn defending a particular landmark, such as a statue, and then the other team has to destroy it with a nuclear bomb. So some team members wind up manning guns near the base of like the statue, and then others will drive around and attack, trying to like press the attack against the guys bringing in the bomb. So there you go. And you can kidnap a member guarding the statue, you can fling him into a rocket launcher, and then that triggers the bomb, which makes a giant nuclear explosion.
Do you think they're going to have enough gameplay there for a full retail release? Because realize, there hasn't been a full retail release of Twisted Metal since PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it feels like a big, sloppy, wacky multiplayer game. I don't know about any kind of single-player-ness to it.
You're fucking crazy!
I may be. It may just, you know... I talked to several people there, and nobody was happy with it.
All right.
I mean, it was...
You got anything you want to share that you are happy
about? I thought Inversion looked cool.
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about Inversion real quick?
Sure.
Do you like Gears of War?
I like Gears... As a matter of fact, I played an hour of the Gears of War 3 beta last night.
Oh. Well, there you go. Would you like Gears of War if it had messing with gravity involved in it?
Oh, dude, I love messing with gravity.
Well, there you go.
It's better than cooking.
I just explained
Inversion. You haven't had my butchery, my friend.
I don't want your butchery. So tell me about Inversion. Inversion is like
Gears of War. It is exactly Gears of War.
Even with the hulking armor dudes and bro-tastic, like...
No, you're much more of a front tuck kind of a guy. You're much more
half tuck, I think, was what you're trying to
excuse me, half tuck. Yes, You're much more of that kind of everyman, but the game plays, looks, feels exactly like Gears of War, to the point where even shooting the bad guys, you know, in Gears of War, the way you shoot the bad guys, like blood kind of like flies out of them. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. The way you select weapons is exactly the same. The way you slide into cover and the way cover works in the game is all exactly the same.
Well, wait, now how does that
work? But I don't think that's a bad thing.
How does that work if gravity gets fucked with?
Well, let's say you're running down a city street.
Uh-huh.
And, well, first of all, you can fuck with gravity in small ways in the sense that you can make things lighter or heavier than they normally would be. For instance, enemies. You can make them float in the air, and then they kind of wave their arms around for a second, and then they get their bearings and start shooting you as they hover in the air, which is kind of cool. And then,
do you have some like gravity gun? Or
you do indeed. You can shoot gravity at them. You can make them lighter or heavier. So
is that like what he's doing in this picture? Which cannot see this picture, but this is a picture of a dude like zapping some guy, and he's like flying around in the air, sort of like on the end of a beam of electricity.
And then you can grab them using your gravity gun, as you would in, for example, Half-Life 2.
Or Bulletstorm.
Or any of those games, yes. And sling them around, pull them closer to you, throw them around, all that. You can make things heavier than they normally would be, so the effect on an enemy would be heavier gravity makes them not be able to move toward you, which is good because there's lots of, like, running at you guys, and so you have to make them heavy. But the coolest stuff involved in the gravity is when you encounter these gravity pockets in the environment. So let's say you're walking down a metropolitan avenue and you've got giant skyscrapers on either side of you, and then you walk into one of these pockets of gravity and it changes your personal gravity 90 degrees. So now you're walking on that side of the building as if that was your floor.
Oh, so it doesn't just do a simple flip.
No, it'll change it 90 degrees, or it'll depending on the kind of pocket that you've walked into, it'll change it in different ways. So the bad guys who have not yet walked through that pocket are still on that original plane. So it doesn't change it for the entire world. It just changes it for you. So now you're on the side of the building, and they're still on the ground. So you're shooting them, and you can like throw a grenade toward them, and then it'll get sucked into their gravity, and so it'll change direction as it flies. And then, of course, you walk into another pocket of gravity. There's a level that we saw that was all underground with like lava flows and everywhere. And you could walk into a bucket of gravity, it changed at 90 degrees. And then you go another 90 degrees. And so now you're walking on the ceiling and there are guys walking on the floor.
And if you try and like interact, then it goes from your gravity pocket to reality world's pocket. So
you can shoot them right. Normally. And they're still fighting on their ground and you're fighting on your ground, which just happens to be not the same ground.
So is there anything built in so that you can keep like some sort of orientation to know where the hell the ground was ultimately before, like where real gravity is? Other than just have to pay attention to visual cues?
Not that I saw. It pay attention to visual cues. And I think those are in very set places. You can't just decide to do that. That is built into the level design. So it throws you into those situations and then throws you out of them on its terms, not on your terms. So that would be actually my only gripe with the game is that there doesn't seem to be – and I played two levels.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, I played it.
So,
and it's not coming out until next February. This is
now it's 2012 because originally it was a 2010 game, and then it became a 2011 game, and now it's a 2012 game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 10 months out.
Who's the dev?
Saber Interactive.
Oh, okay. They did Time Shift.
Yes, they did. I will tell you what else they've done because they have another project in the offing right now. I was trying to think of what it was. Go ahead.
I liked it. I mean, my only gripe is that it doesn't really feel like it has that creativity of, say, a Bulletstorm or something where the game of it is how can I mess with gravity? To a certain extent, you can do stuff with, like, well, there's a bridge, so if I make the bridge really heavy, maybe it'll break and the guys will fall out of the bridge. Or, you know, I can pick something up and throw it, a la Half-Life, you know, with a regular gravity gun. But the real fun stuff is, you know, flipping the whole world topsy-turvy, and that you don't really get to be creative with. You just sort of, that's a feature of the level that you happen to be in.
Okay.
So, and it's very much a shooter. It's very much a cover-based shooter.
Will Rock, Time Shift, and Battle Los Angeles. That was the game I was trying to think of that they did. And it's actually already out. That's the one that's like the
So 40. They did Time Shift.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey now. But they also, like, you know, they market their technology. They're also a technology team.
Mm-hmm.
because they sell their tech. Interestingly enough, on their site they only list Time Shift and Will Rocket as their games. I guess the other ones are just quiet. So win, lose, draw.
I'm excited about it. I mean, like I said, 10 months out, playable two levels. I said, you know, what are you gonna do with these next 10 months? And they said polish and balance. So
drink vodka. They're in Russia.
Let's do some warning stuff.
Do it.
I mean, we still have games, but like,
oh, that's good.
You know, we talked about shooters. I played some SOCOM 4. I think that I'd like to play some more SOCOM 4.
You talked about the Gears 3 beta. I've heard Gears.
Dude, I played like 1 hour of it. Like, I just got it. Like, they just let press into friends and family last night. And actually, one thing that's really convenient is, you know, like having the deal where you punch codes in on the net and your Xbox like downloads that shit immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really convenient because I got home and I was able to actually play it because I got home really late last night due to some mess ups from the airlines. And I didn't play enough Gears 2 to be able to really, really granularly tell you what's different about 3. But I can tell you this. It was really fun. It was playing really well. We were playing the King of the Hill mode. I know we had King of the Hill mode before. And it was the level we were playing in had a degree of complexity in the way it was laid out that I don't recall being that common to Gears levels as a whole. Hmm. In other words, there were a lot of overlooks and around the corners and emplacements and places to take cover and routes to go around other directions. And I thought that was that like more than anything else, that brought a lot to the game because it really kept the dynamic of it moving very fast. But I played it for an hour. That's not a good judge. It was fun. It worked great. You shot things. They bled. It had executions. Meat Shield's still fun.
Yeah.
But Meat Shield was fun before. And it's kind of fun to like hold a dude in front of you and be like pistol shooting over the top of him and be like, I got you. And then like just about the time you think he's going to die, like rip his head off. It's kind of brutal. Kind of awesome. I think we'll talk more about that next week. I think we'll talk more about that and we'll talk more about SOCOM next week.
Sounds good.
I mean, SOCOM's fun. The single player, I don't know. I like SOCOM, but I'm curious to see.
Talk about Insomniac stuff, too, because James will be very sad that I didn't get to that. Well, next week.
Yeah, well, we talked about Resistance 3 quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I finally saw stuff and saw Ratchet and all those things. But moving on.
Well, we don't have to move on.
No, let's move on.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. I want to hear some. This is some good stuff.
All right. So I wanted to do this, especially after we just talked about this. KF Grip a couple of weeks ago asked this question, and KF, I'm going to turn this a little bit because I want to take it in the direction that sort of sparked my memory, but here's what they said. I'm curious on your opinion of the phase out of last generation consoles. With WWE All-Stars, a new game released on the PS2, along with everything else, of course, when does an older console no longer need new games? I don't see original Xbox games being released, which to me is fine since the 360 is 6 or so years old, and rumors are flying about starting development of a new one. With inevitable new generations coming, whether it's 2013 or later, how long do you keep building games for older consoles when there is an established consumer base for the current one? And what this really, and that's a great question in and of itself, but what this really even got me thinking about is with the ongoing extension of the life cycle of these consoles right now, how much impact is that going to have when it comes to transition, and how much will that figure into transition? How feasible would it be for Microsoft to do like they did again with Xbox ever? I mean, can they ever say, you know what, we're going to draw a line? Now, granted, they've gone back now. They've instituted Xbox Originals, and actually their support kind of flip-flopped with Sony, mm-hmm. which went the other direction and like said, oh, we're going backwards compatible. We know you got lots of PS2 games until we get to the second generation or the third generation. Second generation, like, still sort of supported. Third generation, sorry, we know we got to the third generation of the hardware in like a year, but all that PS2 stuff, backwards compatibility, don't forget about that. What do you think about transition? How's it going to look when it does happen?
Well, with the PlayStation 2, I mean, there's still a ginormous audience that'll support that.
Yeah.
I think they're at that point, especially with it. It also depends on a title. I mean, I think they still make Madden games for the PlayStation 2.
Absolutely.
But they can also port that code over to the Wii, that, you know, whatever. So, and that's not a dig, it's just the honest truth. But, you know, when there's an audience for it, they're going to still support it. You know, Junior living upstairs with his older brother's old PS2.
That part I get. So
bingo.
What do you think that's going to do then? And how do you think that figures into product strategists' theories right now on how to handle a next generation? Has this success and extension of this generation started to maybe impede it moving into the next one?
It's possible. I think the modularity of this generation is what's impeding moving on to the next one. You know,
explain what you mean by modularity.
Well, the idea of introducing a Kinect or a Move or, you know, adding these. There was a time when companies like Sega tried to do stuff like that, and the audience went, not going to really do that. And then the publishers had to go, well, we can't support those things.
32X.
Exactly.
Right.
And now it seems like there's a whole different mindset where these things are being embraced on a much bigger scale, and so there's going to be impetus to...
Things or thing? I know there are people that... A lot of people bought Kinect, but Move sure didn't do a whole lot.
Well,
we didn't have their thingamabob. It was built in, which is motion control. So
their thingamabob?
And, you know...
But you could... I don't know. You could argue that...
And there's been a whole slew of Move and Kinect titles that have been released so far in 2011, right? None.
Well.
Oh, sorry. Tiger came out.
I'm saying from a strategic perspective, it's not in their best interest to introduce a new console when they're kind of adding these modular updates to existing consoles. Regardless of whether people are buying Move or not buying Move, having Sony launching that as a new initiative to the PS3, it's a strategic decision to go, this is what we're launching, not the next console.
Right.
You know? And in the same way, I think you could make a comparison also to Nintendo's handhelds, how they're sort of half steps forward until the 3DS. Maybe the 3DS, even since it's backwards compatible, you could argue.
Kind of.
It's
like
less
shit.
So. Yeah, it's less that incremental move forward. But even they are sort of stalling the next console cycle. I mean, now 3DS is significantly that, but had been doing so.
Historically, it was when the games in the arcades look much better in the arcades than they do on the home system. So we need to beef up the home system.
Long history ago,
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, when they've already worn out all the tech and they haven't...
Was that replaced by the PC at a certain point? Yeah. When the PC started looking much better than the consoles?
You could make that argument during Xbox and PS2 era.
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely, they'd say, well, look at how great we can make these multi-platform games on PC. And then they get way ahead, and then we had to catch up.
Yeah.
By the way, Move did actually, the quickest number I found was Sony's November report from last year that was an answer to Microsoft's Kinect numbers. Sony said, well, we've sold 4.1 million Move controllers. Now, that was a sell-in to retailers. However, you have to figure that at this point in time, they probably sold through that inventory and moved on some. So they've sold a lot of Moves. It hasn't just sat there and done nothing.
Then I stand corrected. I don't know. My gut says there's not a lot of people that are playing around with Move. So
I think that might be changing some, because one of the things that they did when I like Move, the things that I like about it is that it's very additive to existing gameplay or, you know, existing things that we do, because it feels like another way of controlling a game in a sense of controlling that I understand. Whereas Kinect stuff is usually just off the wall. It's just different. It's like you're jumping in, you're moving around. They're still into like the full body control.
Well, it's
thing.
An accessory.
Yes, without any negative connotation thereof. It is an accessory, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, I found that once I used the sharpshooter attachment for shooters, it's a fun alternate way to play them. Would I play, like, for instance, would I play Killzone 3 all the way through with the sharpshooter? No. I still like playing with twin sticks, especially with, like, stick extenders. Like, way better. But is it a fun thing to, like, sit down and screw around with for a little bit and almost makes it like, hey, I'm kind of fucking playing Time Crisis, but I'm playing it in Killzone? That's cool. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that has to do with the transition thing, though. I totally got off the subject of that.
Well, I mean, and if whatever Nintendo comes out with is more of that incremental update, if is really just added functionality to an existing Wii, I think that puts less pressure on the other, because it's kind of just catching up to where they already are.
Question might be more game engine centric, even though. I mean.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think that new video that came out recently of the Unreal, sort of future tech Unreal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the thing that they showed at GDC?
Yeah, which is staggering.
Blowing shit.
It really is. And I think when you start seeing those kind of rumblings, that's when you start going, now is the time when these hardware manufacturers are ready to...
Then let me throw this out to you. What if we're at a state of this console sophistication where those guys writing that engine can build that engine to where it recognizes what it's being played on and has, you know, like a feature set that for a game it
you mean
runs...
You mean a personal computer? Are you talking about a PC?
It is getting close to that, isn't it? It is getting close. But you still have fixed hardware. You still have fixed hardware points. You don't have a complete flexibility of you might have one of 30 different processors and 25 different video cards and who knows what else you got in your system. It's like you either have a 360 PS3 generation box or you have a whatever that next generation then becomes box. And if I know when I recognize that I can then run my code this way or that way, maybe that's an avenue.
I think the even more appropriate example would be the Wii or the Wii HD. If you go and you buy Skyward Sword and you put it in your Wii and it works just fine, and then you put it in your Wii HD and it works just fine, but at 1080p.
That was the big thing is like, you know, the original speculation, not original, but some of the speculation on like a next 360 would be that it'd be just a more powerful, similar device and that it would be able to run all your old 360 games, but the ones that didn't run so well before would run better.
That's what a 360 is to an Xbox. That's exactly what it is. It's just a more powerful version of that old thing. It runs your old stuff, but a little bit better.
I'm not sure that I articulated this very well, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure what happens with transition, but I think it's going to maybe be more than ever before engine and tools and dependent on what people can write to than it is what the hardware is going to be.
Don't you think the big lie of all these transitional moments is backwards compatibility? Don't you think I know this is
lie.
Kind of a. It's kind of a.
How's that a lie?
It's kind of a bag of worms that I'm opening. But do people? It's to make people think. I think this is what Sony caught on to at a certain point. People want to think all the money I invested in all these old games is not going to go to waste when I get my new system. I can still play them on my new system.
Absolutely.
But really, what happens is we want new games, and we want new games that take full advantage of the system we've got. And so it doesn't really even matter because if you've got those old games, you've got that old system. So
wow, this sounds not like, necessarily.
This sounds like one up yours from years and years and years
I know,
ago.
It is a little redundant.
I remember me saying almost the exact same thing.
And the Xbox 360 doesn't play all of your old games either.
No,
and
it only plays what they programmed in to put on classics.
And other than Halo and like two or three others, do people demand that, want that? I don't know. Maybe I'll hear back in the talkback that I'm not a representative of the mainstream idea, but yeah. I don't care. When I bought my 360, I'm excited about games that take advantage of my 360, not about putting in my old games into my 360. Right.
All right. So there you go. So rather
what
than
are you laughing at,
no,
Brian
I was
Hammer?
Like, yeah, I want my Perfect Dark Zero.
Well, at the time, like it plays in 720p. Fuck
no,
yeah.
I was an early HD adopter as well, but like I like having the option of going back. I like the option. I invested that money in those old games, and I've gotten to points where certain Xbox games, like when we were even looking for games for Kanata, you know, Kanata Ford,
yeah.
Like I'd be like, sweet, I have this game on Xbox. I'm going to throw it in. Oh shit, it doesn't work. Okay, cool. I have to go into storage and get my old Xbox and get all that shit. I mean, I used to be in that mindset where I want all of my consoles hooked up to my TV, you know, all the old stuff. And I'm older now, and I don't want it to look like the frickin' Borg threw up, you know, in my entertainment center. Like
resistance is futile, though.
Yeah. But
all right. So let's ask this question of folks then. And what oftentimes when we talk about next generations of consoles, we get caught up on what's the features of it, what's the specifications, what does it look like. Instead of that, tell us this week what you think the transitional state of games looks like and how your next generation interacts with this older generation. Does this stuff matter? Does it matter that you can go back and play those old games? Should old games be thought through as Xbox originals? How would you like to see it done? In the meantime, while you have a little time to think about that, we will let you listen to some fusion rock and reggae from Philadelphia, from Sunny Shine and the Underwater Sounds. This is their song Airplane.
Done to me. Every corner that I turn, I see a path. corruption will go. Soon it will reap the seeds that it sows. It's a cool, cool, cool melody. Not quite as free as you thought you would be. Everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. Inside. I know one day our day will come, respect and quiet pride. He quit school to go out west, spreading the word, he put them to the test. He didn't know what the people would do, he just knew what he had to do. I know that anywhere I go, yeah, I can find a home. Oh, no, no. See, I'm gonna move into the valley, where all the pioneers have grown. No. 'Cause I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own. I would abandon everything just to call my life my own.
Sunnyshine and the Underwater Sounds with their song Airplane. And we have been running all kinds of late, like my airplane last night. So we're going to do one character mashup just for the hell of it. Yeah, just for the smell of it. I don't know why that came to mind. So the whole idea is take a character, throw him in another game.
You mean like putting Frank West in Dead Rising 2?
I mean just like taking Frank. That's not really another game,
yeah,
though.
I know.
However, like what Jeff's talking about is that at their Captivate event, now that I have to dig through stuff to find it, Capcom did announce that they're going to make fans happy and bring back everyone's favorite zombie photographer. Who knew being a zombie photographer could be so popular? Frank West. And inject him into the Dead Rising 2 world. And I really don't know a whole lot more about it, except that they said that this new game, Capcom's Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, is it sort of reimagines the outbreak at Fortune City, except instead of having Chuck Green, it's got Frank West. So, yeah. And it does bring back the photography element.
Right.
So, but they also said all new weapons, all new combinations of weapons. So, I mean, I guess it's going to be a full retail release. It's due out this fall.
That's what they said. I think they forgot that to mention that it's going to utilize all old assets, and it's going to reuse a lot of the old game. But that's just my hunch.
Bitter much?
No, I'm just, I'm just critical, not bitter.
Do you think the only other zombie photographer in the world is the staff photographer on Sex and the City?
Heyo.
Nice. Boom.
At least knows how to make corpse look animated.
Anyway, so the idea of the character mashup, right, is what?
Yes, the idea of the character mashup is that you take a character from one series and stick them into another. And we had fun talking about this last week.
So, we did.
Just in the off. So I thought we'd like do some more of it. And we'd like, you guys can give us some direction maybe. Because I think part of the fun thing is not just to like throw it out there, but then is to think about like what would the game be like?
Yeah.
Like, what did we do? We took the dad from Heavy Rain, and there was something hilarious you suggested putting him in.
I said putting in the main character from Bulletstorm into Heavy Rain.
Yes. That so was it.
Jason! Jason! Ah, fuck it. Dick tits. Kinda like that.
Jason would never get lost, though, because he'd just take his leash and just go.
Here you go. And then the other one that I think that was actually kind of serious and cool is putting Nathan Drake in Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
Where he like somehow time travels into the Old West and he's like a man out of time.
Yeah, so I think cutting hairs like that makes for some interesting ideas. Or taking like the rock star heroes and flip flopping them, you know, like
yeah.
Especially taking Marston and like pulling him into like New York City.
Yeah.
So like what would happen?
New York City, get a rope.
Yeah, exactly. could be pretty funky. So.
And then the one we landed on was putting Zangief in anything.
Oh yeah,
anything.
Just pretty much anything.
That's a win, right there.
Zangief. There might be something you couldn't put him in. How about Zangief in Mass Effect? That's not really gonna work.
It works.
No, that doesn't really work.
Spinning pile driver on the robot army. Yes,
I don't...
make it happen.
That would be cool.
What kind of combat armor does Zangief get?
He doesn't need any, dude.
Nothing.
He's got ripped skin and a speedo.
Done. Saying, it's like some crazy space speedo.
Yeah, you can level up his speedo. Plus two to wedgie speedo.
Oh, God. All right. So there you go. That's your idea. Throw us some more ideas and we'll try and refine this into something more interesting, or we'll throw it away and forget that it ever happened. We could do either way. It's easy for us.
It is.
Never happened unless Del Rio puts it into a mix. Right now we have the mix for the news because it's that time.
It's news time with Garnet Lee. It's new time. What's it gonna be?
News, bitch.
And you can find
it makes me cringe.
I have not heard that. That's creepy as shit.
It's not.
Seriously.
There's something wrong with it.
I have nightmares right now and I'm not sleeping.
I'm not proud of my performance in that.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? What happened? All right. your head's about to explode.
If you could have seen how serious Billy was about that, you know he's not. That's not a radio put on right there. That's like, oh my God. You can finally sit on your couch and play Minority Report for some of your Kinect stuff. The stuff that was shown, what was that, 2009, where you could sit there with your Netflix and voice command it and flip through the menus, finally turned on.
Could I command it to play Minority Report on my Netflix?
Only if that is available through streaming, which
would be awesome.
I'd rather doubt. Xbox Live General Manager Pete Thompson had this to say of the announcement. He says, by integrating Kinect into the Netflix experience on Xbox Live, we're continuing to transform the way people enjoy their favorite entertainment in the living room. Do we still get excited about this stuff? It was a big news story.
It's cool.
It was funny. Like, everyone got excited about it. We put it up there. Everyone was, like, breaking it out right at the same time. Like, okay, so we're now a game site that's, like, excited about, like, telling people you can use your hands to wave your way through Netflix.
It's kind of cool.
Is it?
It's cool if people like it. Okay. I mean, I don't have Kinect.
I'll tell you this.
I've not made the jump to the Kinect yet.
I thought you had one.
Mm-mm. I borrowed David Else's.
Okay.
Let me tell you this. Might blow your mind. My least favorite thing about watching Netflix on my 360 is an hour into the movie where I need to pause it to go grab some more popcorn. I got my
your controller turned
has powered off.
Right, so you got to turn your controller on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a bigger deal than you think.
Okay.
Pushing a button's a bitch.
Netflix,
well, you have to
pause.
Wait. You have to, like, it takes a second to turn on. And I want to pause right now. Found a perfect pause point. All I got to do is go, my Xbox, connect, turn off, or whatever the fuck.
Xbox, I'm peeing. Please hold. Thank you.
Did you give Dallas back his Kinect? He works for the company. You could have just taken it.
There is not a game for another month or so that I care about. So,
well, those of our friends up at Microsoft and 343 Industries are starting to get ready for the 10th anniversary of Halo, and the first of those preparations involves updates to Halo Waypoint. They're going to include a massive amount of reach stat keeping that will now be in there. You'll be able to do compare with friends. You'll be able to instant stream video. It'll have two more levels added to your, like, you know, you have your Halo ranking inside Waypoint. You can add two more levels of that. Already said it has all of your stats for reach in there. And they're also going to add a new interactive motion comic called the Mona Lisa.
Hmm.
Mona Lisa. Anyway, it's the this comic will show the crew of the UNSC Red Horse discovering a derelict prison ship called the Mona Lisa. What should they not do to that ship, Jeff?
Don't go on the ship! Don't land on it! It's a derelict!
So, of course, the crew goes to investigate, and...
I'm with you.
They wind up battling the Covenant. No big surprise.
Yeah, if you're going to have sushi and it says derelict sushi, are you going to be all up in that sushi? I don't think so. Derelict.
Derelict.
Yeah, that's like a big warrant. That's a big no.
We were having a big debate during the other intermission about which platform we're going to be playing Portal 2 on. And it's surprising to me how strongly it still is being thought of as a 360 title. And Jeff, I think you're right, probably, that people played it on 360 and they know their friends are there and they know the thing has co-op, so a lot of people will gravitate to it. But
PS3 is strong.
PS3 is strong. We got the we knew the Steam integration was going to be really tight, but Valve sent out a PR release this week detailing the exact way it's going to be implemented. And you're going to have the Steam overlay inside the PlayStation Network that
so
lets you
slick.
That lets you see everything your friends are doing, both in Steam and in PlayStation Network, have game invites, and it has cross-platform play between PC and PS3, which means suddenly I think you've got potentially the largest player base on that shared platform.
And you get a PC copy with your PS3. You get cloud save games, so you can play some on the PS3, some on your PC.
That's the one thing you can't do.
No?
Unfortunately, you can't swap back and forth. Now, I checked that out, right? Because that's what I said right off the bat, and Zab was like, no, you still have to play on the platform you start. Like, if you start on PS3,
lame.
You have to play on PS3.
I thought that was the whole point of cloud
Which
saves.
Is weird, because it does have cross-platform play.
Yeah.
Maybe Zab was wrong. I hope Zab was wrong.
I hope so, too. But I can see.
I think
so.
Right.
I could play with you, just to clarify, from my PC, and you're playing on PS3.
Yes.
Hmm.
But you wouldn't be able to start a game on PS3 and then go pick it up on PC or vice versa.
And you can earn trophies and Steam achievements concurrently.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
So everything that would be a Steam achievement is also a trophy. So they just made them basically the same thing. Like whatever those achievements may or may not be, then they're always the same.
As they usually do. But you're earning them at the same time, right?
You earn them at the same time.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think it's really cool. I'm most interested to see what the Steam platform on PS3 looks like, because no offense to PSN, but the store has been good. Like, look, Sony is good and obviously has like a lot of investment in movies and media and music. But if they wound up making a really tighter, if they write it, wound up tightening this partnership with Steam and had Steam, starting to really become their content delivery portal for games on PS3, that could be fucking
game
huge.
Changer.
That could be a big game changer. I don't know if they're willing to give up that level of
control.
A lot of those games are available already. Console games are available on Steam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
no.
That would be a tricky situation that could be pretty awesome.
Sony also reached a conclusion of, maybe not a conclusion. They did reach a settlement, I should say, in their dispute, legal dispute with the hacker Geohot. Of course, as we know, we're never going to really hear any of the details. It's all pretty much closed. Although the most interesting development at the end of this, which sort of says that there wasn't any sort of like weird agreement, they won't slander each other, is that he came out and said, he posted, where Holtz posted this. I guess it's on his blog or someplace. It says, as of 4/11/11, I am joining the Sony boycott. I will never purchase another Sony product. I encourage you to do the same. And if you bought something Sony recently, return it. Why would you not boycott a company that feels this way? I used a word that's not work safe that Steve didn't include in my copy. Damn it. About you. There's much more to come on this blog. So obviously, it was on his personal blog.
Are people able to return video games in this country? I don't.
You can return hardware.
Yeah, he said if you bought something, maybe hardware.
If you bought something Sony.
All right.
I think like the Sony boycott extends, to everything they make: televisions,
clock radios,
Walkmen.
I think it's ridiculous. You can't return video games. That's all my point was.
Sony Computer Entertainment General Counsel Riley Russell said, Sony is glad to put this litigation behind us. Our motivation for bringing this litigation was to protect our intellectual property and our consumers. We believe the settlement and the permanent injunction achieve this goal. So, there you go. Score one for the big guys. That's not so great, huh?
Well, what he did was he just opened up the He basically said, you can hack this thing.
That's all he did.
Go yep. do it. That, and so now I believe that this thing will continue to be hacked.
Really?
Sure.
Shocking. And they will continue to have to fight it. Let's talk about some software. Remember when Guitar Hero was shut down? They closed the franchise. That was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe that wasn't it.
They think there's still money to be made on that?
Speaking to GameIndustries.biz, Activision Vice President of Developer Relations and Acquisitions, Dan Winters, explained,
I think we can still squeeze a penny out of this franchise.
Just to clarify, we're just putting Guitar Hero on hiatus. We're not ending it. We're releasing products out of the vault, and we'll continue to sustain the channel. The brand won't go away. We're just not going to make a new one for next year. That's all.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Is it?
It's a good thing.
There
doesn't have to be one every year.
There doesn't have to be one every year. And I'm a huge fan of Guitar Hero. I'm a huge fan of music games in general. Yeah. But if they're just thinking, as I guess cynically imagine Activision might be, of, oh, we'll just let things cool down for a little while, release some DLC, keep it around, they'll come back with another Guitar Hero.
And, Guitar Hero Underground, Guitar Hero, what is the other Tony Hawk things that came after the
Tony
hiatus?
You know, Ride? You know, there is a new Tony Hawk game coming.
Oh, I know.
Tony said...
Tony I'm saying, says. But they put that game on ice briefly, and then wasn't Thug the first one that came out after that?
We're going to do something probably for next year, but I can't give too much away. Well, don't worry, Hawkster, you didn't give away too much. it'll have wheels and a board. Winters also spoke in this interview about the cancellation of True Crime Hong Kong, and I think this is one that offers a lot of insight into Activision's current modus operandi. Says, the challenges in the marketplace right now, when you're talking about open world games that are going to compete with the titles like Red Dead Redemption, expectations for the consumer are really high. That would have been, and still might end up being, and he's speaking about the True Crime Hong Kong game here, a very successful mid-tier opportunity for someone. But as I said, we changed our business model to where we were going to change our business model to focus disproportionately on three big, huge monsters. And those three monsters are, wait for it,
Call of Duty,
Bungie,
oh,
Call of Duty, and Spyro.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
The monsters!
Yeah, Universal.
Bungie, Call of Duty, and Spyro.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess because that is a monster. He's like, we have three monsters. One of them actually is a monster.
He was polite, you know, and said, we have confidence in the quality of the studio and the quality of title, just not in the scale of the opportunity. If that actually is true, then that's even more troublesome that it's not like, we're not even really worried about the caliber, and, you know, this has been the accusations slung at Activision all the time. We're not even worried about the caliber of the quality of what they're putting out. We don't really care about the game. We so much care about, like, how much can we market it and how big can we sell it?
Yeah. Well, they're in the business of making money.
Capcom is coming with a new IP called Dragon's Dogma. Also announced at the Captivate event. This is going to be set in an... What?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dragon's Dogma?
No, like, it's an open world game coming from Capcom. You can read the news story, and then I'll, you know, you just finished a news story that talked about B-level open world titles. And then you're rolling into
juxtaposition.
This.
Juxtaposition.
Sorry.
Why I might have set that up like that.
It's good.
You just want it to be Dragon's Dogma and cats.
Plus cats.
Plus cats.
Show some respect.
I want it to be Kevin Smith's Dragon Dogma.
With butchery.
Red State was awesome, by the way. Red State was really awesome.
Yeah. You went to the tour?
Yeah, it was really, really good. It's freaking bloody as hell. It's crazy, crazy intense. Like, lots of, like, so many people get shot. It's amazing. Because he says, like, Red State was all about the blood. Like, yeah, it's crazy. It turns at least three significant times where you think the movie is going to be just about, like, this. And then you're like, oh, no, it's really going to be about this. And then, oh, so it's going to be about this? It's really cool.
Interesting.
I like that. I like that quite a bit.
Scream's also good. Scream 4. Good.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never watched... you know what? I've really only watched Scream 1. I've never watched...
That's the only one you need to watch.
Okay.
Are these games? Just saying.
We're just talking about some movies, all right? You got a problem with that? You got a problem with the little film injection here?
Butchery!
There's butchery in Scream, I guess.
Set in a world with hundreds of fully voiced NPCs, Dragon's Dogma.
Awful title.
Yes.
Awful. Awful title.
Anyway, it's going to set you on a quest to destroy a mysterious dragon, of course. And
is he also a leader of a religious sect?
You're so bad. You're so bad. Didn't I read that? Who's producer on this?
I'm seeing him. God damn. Devil May Cry.
Yes.
Oh, I can't think of his name. That is terrible.
I'm opening up my pad now and answering this. Oh, look, there's a football video here. Wonder what that could be about. Anyway, so what were you going to say about Dragon's Dogma after I was waiting? While I look this up, you can address that.
You know, Capcom has done this thing where they want to make games for the West, and they use Western developers to make these games of the West that appeal to the West and everything like that. Who asked Capcom to make a Bethesda game? Because this is a Bethesda game. Like, when I think of Capcom, what I want is a fighting game, or Devil May Cry, or Mega Man, and granted, I know most of those people have left now. However, it just doesn't make sense.
Well,
to me.
You know, you're saying I only want you to make the things you've already made? That's not really fair.
No, but you should. As a developer, you should make games that you're good at making.
Well, maybe they're good at making these. They've never made one before.
You don't know if you're good at making those games.
Well,
you know,
that's but like you may discover.
But those games that Capcom have done, try to go outside of the box with, have kind of, you know, Shadow of Rome.
How do you know where the box is if you never try to go outside of it, Billy? I'm all for trying new stuff, man.
Okay.
Try new stuff, man.
So what are your thoughts on Dragon's Dogma?
I think it's an awful title.
Outside
I think they should
the title.
Replace the title immediately, if not sooner. And my favorite kind of game is the open world RPG game, so I'm hoping it's good. You never know.
So it's being led by director Hideaki Itsuno, and the producer on it is Hiroyuki Kobayashi. Kobayashi was the one you remembered, yes.
I feel like an
asshole. Art director on that is Makoto Tanaka, who's also done a bunch of those games with them. So it's a very storied group. These guys know what they're doing. They wouldn't be on board with the project if it wasn't something they felt, you know, like very serious about. And there's definitely been a resurgence. I mean, look, we have Dark Souls coming up. There's like a big resurgence in action RPGs, and you can definitely see where they're like pulling like, oh, we want to go get into that. You don't think it'll be successful, huh?
I'm just very, very terrified and nervous. I would rather Kobayashi-san was working on another DMC or thrown back into Resident Evil and that sort of thing. Like, I would much rather, wouldn't you rather have a RE6 announcement?
I think we're going to get an RE6.
We know we're going to get, yeah, but wouldn't you rather, I would rather take that talent and throw it towards,
All right. I feel your pain, my brother. I feel your
this
pain.
This is what Kojima says every year, right? All I can do is make the same series. I'm trapped in Metal Gear.
Yeah, you know what? It works. And it sells. Capcom's going to, you know, I love Capcom. As a company, I really do. They have a very storied history, and a lot of the games that they've made, I'm a big fan of. But every time they go outside of the box and they're like, you know, like, oh, open world games, they sell. Let's do that. Like,
You feel like it's a cynical decision rather than a creative one.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, I could support that position.
What's cool now? Space Marines. Let's fucking make a Space Marine shooter. You know, it's like, it's been, it's frustrating as a gamer. You know, wouldn't you, you know, obviously Mega Man is a little tricky now considering Inafune-san's not there anymore, but I don't know. It's frustrating. Like another Maximo or something like that. Like, let's.
Maximo's cool.
Sequels, you know.
Hardcore.
It's hardcore.
Those were tough games. That was one of the big knocks about those games was that they, although they were a great reinterpretation in 3D, that they also brought over the difficulty curve of the originals.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought you liked those. I thought those would have fallen into your, like, that's so hard, I don't want to go back and do it again.
They definitely punished me, and I resented them for that. But I liked those games.
You know, one of the games, like, when that subject comes up, one of the games that I'm most regretful of not having played is Demon's Souls. And I could still play it. There's still like 6 months of server time left. I keep feeling the pull to go play it.
The audience will love you if you play it.
Well, I think I would love it. I think I would really love it.
I'm not going to play it.
Anyway, I've had it at home since the first wave of like fan appreciation of like probably 2 or 3 months after it came out.
I think it's okay to know yourself well enough to know that you won't enjoy that game.
I think I might like it.
Well, then go
even
for
though
it.
It's punishing, like the thing that everyone is always like, and the reason I brought that up is the thing that everyone has always brought up about the game is that although it is punishing, you never feel like you were cheated. You always feel you always feel like you know what happened and how it was beating you and what you needed to learn from it, what the takeaway was from it, and like that could be okay. That could be okay. Maybe. I don't know. We're about to see L.A. Noire very soon, and the videos that have been coming have gotten, I think, everybody at least excited about what the potential is for that sort of cinematic storytelling, and a lot of that comes from their facial animation tech. Edge Magazine recently was up to see Remedy, the Alan Wake guys, and lo and behold, they're going to start in, or have started in, on their own new motion capture technique and software. It uses... Anyway, there's a bunch of tech. If you want to come over to Shack News and read the, like, there's tons and tons of specs on it. There's some speculation on what it might be being used for, but no one really knows other than that this is what they want to do. They did buy, or not buy, they picked up John Root, who was the lead animator at id Software, Epic Games, and Disney, and he's now working on this technology there. And he explained that basically it retargets and retweaks the raw capture data. And then hands that off to the animators.
I got some raw data right here. Anybody?
I read about that on the Twitter.
Had a delicious steak and potato.
So anyway, they're going out there now to one up the LA Noire facial tech. At the same time, it was only like a couple weeks ago we saw Cage say, look, this whole facial tech thing is irrelevant anyway because we're going to be capturing digital actors within the next 3 to 5 years, and then all of this like faking it shit's not going to matter anyway.
That's great.
Well, do you remember how awful the facial tech was in Alan Wake? And it looks like someone's chewing rocks when they're talking to you. Like, that's good. Good. That's
but
awesome.
Alan Wake is so badass, he does chew rocks when he talks to you.
It's tough like that.
When he's eating his taters.
And last but not least, if you are interested in doing some charitable donations, the third Humble Indie Bundle has been announced and is now available. And this one is
such a great, cool thing.
Yes, it is. This one is entirely focusing on content by Frozenbyte. And you probably know them from Treen, which, if you haven't played, is an excellent game in and of itself. But they also did the Shadowgrounds shoot 'em ups.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Shadowgrounds?
Treen? That was Trine.
Trine.
Whatever.
I just think people might not know what you're talking about. That's all.
They don't know what I'm talking about half the time anyway.
Well,
and then, you know, I had to at least pronounce one thing incorrectly today. Otherwise, it wouldn't be me. So always, you can choose how to... anyway, the thing with the Humble Indie Bundles is you choose how much you want to pay. You pay that, and it goes to donation. In this case, it's going to the EFF, the Child's Play, or Organizer Wolfire. So, wow. The original Humble Indie Bundle raked in $1,273,613. Number two passed $1.8 million. So here's a great way to donate to charity.
And you get cool stuff.
And you get some cool stuff. People have been being great already to charity at Play for Japan, which is one thing that Billy, I think, wanted to make sure and bring up here at the end of the show.
Yeah, I guess that would be my finishing move? That could be totally my finishing move.
That could be your finishing move. We should do... Okay, then we'll do finishing moves. Do we want to sound bumper it, or do we just want to go straight to finishing moves?
I think we have to sound bumper it, dude. Come on.
All right, it's time for finishing moves.
Finishing moves.
See? Now it's finishing moves.
Now it is finishing moves. Finish them, Billy!
There you go. So if you've been listening to the show or you're paying attention to anything on the Twitter or a few websites, I'm helping out with playforjapan.org. There's a lot of people in the industry that are have teamed up to help out and doing a lot of auctions, first off. While you listen, when you could check out playforjapan.org. Right now, EA Tiburon, did you see the stuff that they put up? It was pretty cool.
I did not.
Autographed Tiger Woods sleeve for Tiger Woods limited edition. There's also NCAA football autographed by all of the cover athletes. All of them.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And MMA signed by Couture and another one. I'm not an MMO guy or MMA guy, so I'm bad. But that stuff's autographed. But
MMA MMO.
They could be a lot of dudes beating up dudes, but it's cool stuff for Child of Eden. You get a personalized note from Mizuguchi-san, signed Eternal Darkness from Zav. Zav put that up. I have autographed Dead or Alive 3 from Itagaki-san. That also says Team Ninja, which is cool because he's not there anymore. And I also have an autographed Game Boy Advance Famicom edition that's autographed by Miyamoto. So
okay, that's fucking cool.
It's hard to find that GBA alone, but that SP. But anyway, it's nice.
That's gonna go for a fortune.
I hope so because it's all going for Japan,
which are now over $100,000.
Yes, as of this morning.
So great.
Finally went over 100,000, and then if you check out the site, just announced. I don't know if you discussed the Play for Japan, the album that Yamaoka-san's been working on with us.
You have some new announcements?
But they just announced that Jason Graves, who did music for Dead Space, CNC, and Star Trek, Ainon Zur, who did Crisis, Dragon Age, and Fallout music, and I'm going to butcher his name, Penka
Butcher
Vanuva. He did music for Prince of Persia and Transformers, but already added to the cast of Bear McCreary, who did SOCOM 4 and also Battlestar Galactica, Mitsuda-san, and Nobuo Uematsu. Which
Jesus Christ, Billy's finishing move is like one of those crazy fucking fatalities. It's like down, left, B, B, A, B, X, B, B,
bound,
left, right, down, grapple, from the ground move, roll to the left, B, B, X, B, Y,
but
you done?
More details on that album are going to come up later. So very, very excited about that. As a video game music dork, I'm like, this is pretty rad. So, and it's all going for tsunami and earthquake victims in Japan. So check it out. And also, if you're in the industry and you have something you'd like to donate for auction or something like that, go to playforjapan.org and help us out. We just hit 100,000. I know we'd like to hit 200,000. So
it would be great.
Or more. There you go.
Would you like to go last, Jeff? I can do mine.
Finished.
Sure. I always go last. I thought I'd like either way. You go last. Mine is this. There's a lot of co-op games coming in the next wave of games. You know, I was up at Bethesda, and clearly we've all seen Hunted a bunch, and there's co-op in that, and Brink relies on a lot of people playing
Clank
together. Ratchet & Clank has a lot of co-op. I'm really curious how much it matters, because we all get excited about it when we talk about co-op, but I'm not 100% convinced that there are that many people wanting to play co-op.
I do.
Resistance 3 also has co-op, which people are
so
excited about.
So does Inversion.
And don't get me wrong. I think for us, if you're listening to this show right now, you're probably one of those folks who'd be like, man, fucking co-op's awesome. I totally want to play co-op. How many people, though, really, really play it? And what could we do to improve playing games together? Because it's always like, we know, like, to a man, all of us will say, playing games with friends is always better. We always have a better time. How can we convince all the other folks out there that when they have these modes in the games, they should try them out and that they'd have a blast with them?
Interesting. I'm just going to talk about something cool. I've been talking about serious stuff from my finishing move in the last few weeks. That's stupid. Although I highly support Billy's finishing move. Somebody sent this to me, and I apologize for not getting your name. I can't remember where it was sent to me, but thank you, whoever you are. You know who you are. I was sent this video that I'm sure a lot of people have seen, but it was new to me. It's called Warfare 2, and it's a FIFA 11 goals compilation that this guy, whose name I don't know how to pronounce, it's H-J-E-R-P-S-E-T-H, Hedgerspseth? Anyway.
I think you guys were making those noises.
I've seen a lot of cool things in video games before, but this is one of the coolest. And I had a lot of appreciation. You know, I'm not the biggest soccer fan. I played FIFA and I enjoyed it, but I'm not the hugest FIFA fan. But just watching this video and seeing what is possible in this game, the idea of the video is basically doing goals like they were kills in Modern Warfare. And this guy is capable of doing stuff in this game that is so incredibly rad. It feels like I'm watching the greatest hits compilation on ESPN that I've ever seen.
So you'll throw a link in the Shaq News thread?
Okay.
Throw a link in the Shaq
News
thread.
The easiest way to find it is to go to YouTube and search for Warfare 2 FIFA goal. It's okay. The first link that comes up.
Or we can throw a link.
Well, or that. That requires work.
Well, because there's a giant population of people that are mixing soccer and
Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And it shows creativity in video games.
All right, if you check it out, let us know what you think on the show thread or come by Facebook. You know all the places to catch up with us. Sunny Shine and the Underwater Sounds out of Philadelphia with the music today. It was good stuff. They are currently available, or not available, they're currently touring through April. They'll be in Asbury Park at the Saint on April 19th. They will be back in Philadelphia at Silk City on April 27th and back in Asbury Park at Langosta Lounge on April 29th. And you can also pick up their first EP for a whole $5. $5. It's on MySpace. There you go. That's the big show. Thanks to Billy Berghammer for coming on today.
Thanks for having me back. I miss you guys. It's been fun.
We miss you too.
I've finally had something to do this week. Come on, you can laugh at that.
I don't want to laugh at that. You'll be back. You'll be back many times. We will make sure that you keep coming back. As long as you're in Los Angeles, you'll be back on the show.
Los Angeles. Got the dater on that.
Yep. All right, that's the big show. That's your weekend confirmed. Until next week, we are Ghost.
The new me can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. Can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. These haters try to stop me, can't stop my shine. Can't stop my shine.
Try to stop me, but they don't get close, so they do it from a
Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by Game Center, the must-have app for gamers. Game Center is filled with game information, the latest gaming news from ShackNews.com, and videos and screenshots for over 7,000 games. Game Center is free and available now for the iPhone, Android, and Palm mobile devices.